from the high desert and the great American Southwest. I bid you all good evening, good morning across all these many time zones. It's going to be a very, very exciting show this morning. So buckle down and get ready. A lot of surprises coming up. I'm Art Bell, and this, from the Tahitian and Hawaiian Island chains in the west, eastward across this great nation, to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north well to the pole, and worldwide on the Internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Great to be here. First, a very sad note. Less than 3 months ago, Cardinal Joseph Bernardin gallantly faced a room full of reporters to tell the world that his pancreatic cancer had spread and would kill him within a year. He faced the ordeal humbly, head-on, in the style that defined that man in life, and, of course, his very public death. Bernardin, 68 years of age, the senior Roman Catholic in the U.S. and leader of Chicago's 2.3 million Catholics, died Thursday at his home, surrounded by friends and family, his only sister at his side. Pope John Paul II mourned the loss of a great church leader and cited the cardinal's dignity and hope in the face of the mystery of suffering and death. In more than 14 years as Archbishop of Chicago, often described as the most visible Catholic post in the United States, the son of Italian immigrants built a reputation as a soft-spoken but skillful mediator who worked to bridge the gap between factions within and outside his faith. He helped steer the U.S. Church toward an anti-nuclear stance, and in 1987 struck a delicate balance as chief drafter of a document in which U.S. bishops said they would tolerate educational programs on how to use condoms to prevent AIDS. On August 30th, he had announced the cancer had spread and was inoperable. Bernardin gave up his day-to-day duties just two weeks ago. Up until then, he never avoided the most prying questions about his failing health. Just days before his death, he wrote to the U.S. Supreme Court urging it not to allow doctor-assisted suicide. In September, Bernardin also went to the cell of a death row inmate who had asked to pray with him before being executed. The cardinal said at the time, quote, "He knows he's going to die tonight, and I know that I'm going to die in the near future." He was indeed an excellent example of how Christians are supposed to live, and an excellent example of how we should all hope to die. And he will be missed. Certainly is going to be missed in Chicago, nationwide, and really worldwide, because Cardinal Bernardin, it was thought, might well be the first American Pope. Cardinal Bernardin gone. Tomorrow night, I'm going to have, and I'm sure he will comment on the passing of the Cardinal. Tomorrow night, I'm going to have Father Malachi Martin back on the program. And the Father has advised several popes. We'll talk indeed about the Catholic Church tomorrow night. And I'm sure we'll have comments on the passing of the Cardinal. So I'm very, very sorry about that, as we all are, and it's one of those things that simply is felt by all in and outside of the Church. In a moment coming up, we've got a very special program. Ahead of that program, though, I do have some announcements, some things that I've got to get done here. Professor Courtney Brown is going to be my guest. He is a remote viewer, and he has some of the most exciting news that a person can imagine. And with respect to that news, or part of it, just part of it, there is a new and worrisome photograph of the comet Hale-Bopp. And I'll try and give you some details of it, but I want to tell you first that it is up on my website. As a matter of fact, there are several items on my website tonight that you need to look at if you have a computer. One is the new photograph of Hale-Bopp. Another is thanks to somebody in the audience. As a matter of fact, earlier today I spoke to Strange Universe, the people at Strange Universe that are going to be here on Sunday. And they had taken a photograph, or a series of photographs, of what is said to be a dead chupacabra. Indeed, this is a fearsome, ugly-looking creature, and there are four separate photographs. Now, they were going to bring me the videotape up so I could make stills and get them on the web. One of you out there, and I don't have your name, I'm sorry, beat me to the punch and sent the photographs in. So, in view of the fact that Strange Universe had given me permission to put them up there, they're up there, and they are the doggonest things you've ever seen. Four pictures of what is said to be a chupacabra from Mexico on my webpage now. There is also a UFO in Central California, photographs of the demon seeds. But most of all, for tonight, you need to get up there and take a look. Four photographs of what is said to be a dead chupacabra. Take a look. It is a strange creature indeed. The new photograph of Hale Bopp. Let me see while I'm at it if I can read you some portion of what's going all over the net right now. If I've got it, here it is. Dear Art, urgent. Strange object sighted near Hale Bopp. Art, I have just taken some amazing photographs of Hale Bopp. They show a Saturn-like object near the comet. This thing, if it's solid and near the comet, would be about four times the size of Earth. I have called Hoagland. He says that he's getting other calls about it. This strange thing that just showed up tonight. I have to see it, and he gives me the website address, and this is from Chuck in Houston, Texas. Now, we have pulled the picture and put it on our website so you can get it very quickly. When I talked to Professor Brown moments ago, prior to the show, he said, Art, there is incredible news about Hale Bopp, and we just briefly discussed the photograph that I had up there for your viewing anyway. So he's going to tell us all about it. And the big announcement from Dr. Courtney Brown. So all of that coming, we will do a little bit of a beginning and a sort of a recap on remote viewing for the new listeners out there. We've got to do that in view of all the new affiliates. Speaking of new affiliates, we have switched affiliates in Detroit, Michigan, to WCHB AM, 1200 on the dial, 25,000 big watts. I suspect covering a great deal more than Detroit, well into Canada and elsewhere. That's WCHB, 1200 on the dial in Detroit. In addition, I would like to welcome KYKN AM in Salem, Oregon, 1430 on the dial, 5,000 watts. They're going to be heard very, very well indeed in Salem and beyond. I would like to welcome WNDB in Daytona Beach, Florida. That's WNDB in Daytona Beach, Florida. And finally, we also are moving affiliates in Salt Lake City, Utah. Our affiliate there, despite the number one ratings for this program overnight, is going music. And so we are moving to KTKK. That's KTKK. They are, let me see, where are they on the dial? Well, it doesn't tell me. So I'm going to have to look that up. Somebody out there, give me a hand, KTKK in Salt Lake City. It's the one piece of info that I don't have is the dial position. And glad to have them back on board. We were on KTKK some long time ago, and so here we are back again. All right, that should get it started for you. Indeed, I've seen the Hale Bopp photograph, and it really is odd. There is something really big out there near Hale Bopp. I have no idea what it is, but it is not a camera flare. Whatever it is, it's real, and it is awfully big. All right. Dr. Courtney Brown, Ph.D., is indeed an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. He is also president of the Farsight Institute of Scientific Remote Viewing, as well in Atlanta. At Emory, he specializes in nonlinear mathematical modeling of social phenomena, environmental politics, and elections. He's held the Charles Grove Haynes Professorship at UCLA and was a Hewlett Fellow at the Carter Presidential Center at Emory University. Dr. Brown recently published the book Cosmic Voyage, a scientific discovery of extraterrestrials visiting Earth, in which he presents research that was conducted using the U.S. military-derived remote viewing espionage protocols to study the ET phenomenon. Courtney Brown, Ph.D., is president of the Farsight Institute. He is also an associate professor of political science at Emory. So, coming up right now, Dr. Courtney Brown. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Art, as always, it is a great honor to be on your show.
Thank you. I am excited to get to the news, and I know you are too, but we have a lot of new listeners all over the country, including Chicago, the mighty WLS, and a new station up in Detroit, and stations all over the place. So we have got to take a moment, hard and painful as it may be, to tell people, describe to people, what it is that you do. What is remote viewing? If you were to sit down and explain remote viewing to somebody who had never heard of it, they might not know what a psychic is, but for all they know, they think you're a psychic. It's not the same thing, or if it is, it isn't the same thing, is it?
Well, it's remotely similar, but it's not really the same thing. But it is, we're distant cousins.
All right. There was a Nightline program in which they came on and fully admitted that our government has been funding remote viewing for 20 years, but still people don't know exactly what remote viewing is, so please tell us.
Well, Art, remember that I'm a professor at Emory University, and I don't mind going back to the basics on anything, because the advanced stuff, the great discoveries, everything, they don't make sense without an understanding of what's going on.
That's so correct.
That's just my normal way of doing things. Remote viewing is a mental procedure, and it enables a person to extract accurate and descriptive information from distant locations. Now, remote viewing also works across time, in the sense that a remote viewer can extract information from the past, present, or the future. Now, scientific remote viewing, SRV, scientific remote viewing, refers to a set of procedures, protocols, that are a highly modernized version of the original techniques that were developed and used by the U.S. military in the 1980s and 90s for espionage purposes. The protocols basically allow any normal, well-balanced individual to remote view with tremendous precision. Accuracy rates are typically above 85%, and scientific studies using multiple remote viewers employing these protocols where together with the analysis typically can reach accuracy rates that are near complete.
100%.
Very close, because you're using many remote viewers. You're getting all the basic information. You're doing the analysis. Now, for espionage purposes, when the DIA, which originally funded this program that developed these procedures,
that would be the Defense Intelligence Agency.
That's the Defense Intelligence Agency, not the CIA. Everyone
right.
thinks the CIA is the spies. Every governmental agency has their own spies. Even the IRS has their own spies. The DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, they funded remote viewing research at Stanford Research Institute, now called, formerly part of Stanford University, now called SRI International. It broke off from Stanford University and during the Vietnam War days. And for $20 million, they developed remote viewing procedures that were used for espionage purposes. Now, when you have a regular physical spy, only certain percent of the information that obtained by the U.S. military is accurate from physical spies, because physical spies get discovered. And when you catch a physical spy, you don't kill the person. You leave the person alone and feed that person disinformation. So a certain percentage of information that's coming across from physical spies is inaccurate. Now, remote viewing with a better than 85% accuracy rate, as it was developed at Stanford Research Institute, that was spectacular. That was very, very good. Now, scientific remote viewing is the modernized version that we teach here at the Farsight, F-A-R-S-I-G-H-T, Institute here in Atlanta. And it's a full-fledged institute with facilities, staff. We've got 9 teachers, a director of instruction, myself, a full-time secretary, manager, the whole thing, offices. And we teach for the public, for scholars, lots of medical doctors, PhDs, regular ordinary people from truck drivers to everyone else, take our course and learn how to do this, literally this scientific remote viewing, which is the modernized version. For those people who want to get more background on it, on this procedure, the procedures that we use, what we talk about, we have a website which is one of the most modern, advanced websites anywhere. And
Doctor, let me just stop you long enough to say that we have your link right up on top on our webpage. So anybody who's used to going, they're going to be headed up there to get the picture of Hale Bopp and so forth tonight by the zillions. So
right
at the very top, you will see a link to the good doctor's website. Otherwise, the website address is
www.farsight.org. www.farsight.org. And I should add that the original remote viewing procedures, as they were developed by the U.S. military, were developed, invented by Ingo Swann. He's an artist in New York. And he worked at Stanford Research Institute, the Defense Intelligence Agency, worked with him, and he was the inventor. He was the one who actually developed it, and I've always said in every
Yes. Is Ingo Swann now in New York, or is he in Las Vegas?
I don't have any personal contact with him. I did not study under Ingo Swann. I've only talked to him on the phone a few times. I don't even know. As last I heard, he's in New York. He's still in New York, but I'm not the one to ask to find out about that. But I do want to give respect for him, because he was the one who developed the procedures and
the father of remote viewing.
He was the one, and it was difficult because he had basically nothing to going on. It was sort of like Newton. Basically, Newton had an apple drop on his head, and he was able to develop all of the laws of physics that came out of Newtonian physics that we now use. And it was a really great discovery, and if anyone does deserve a Nobel Prize for this type of thing, it's certainly in his category.
Do you think that may be forthcoming?
I don't know. We've got a long way to go before all the paradigms fundamentally shift on this planet for us to accept these things. But, you know, respect is due where respect is due. I'm an academic. Academics cite people and give
all
the time. And he's the one who did the original stuff.
All right, Doctor, I understand to some degree how the military remote viewing worked. In other words, these people, these separate from each other remote viewers, would be given random numbers, which actually were targets that the team was supposed to view independently. And that's how they would get their accuracy rating. Now, when you do your remote viewing with these scientific remote viewing protocols, and you target something like Mars, like Hale Bopp, do you use multiple remote viewers?
Yes, we do. We have a number of professionals, and we have lots of trainees working up the ranks as well. And what we do when we're interested in something, you know, really that needs to be answered, we send a number of remote viewers to that target. For example, when the information came out today...
Hold on. That's a good cliffhanger. For an example is where we'll pick it up. It's the bottom of the hour already because of so many announcements that I had to get on. My webpage is www.artbell.com. You're going to want to go up there and take a look based on what we're about to talk about. We'll be right back.
Art Bell is taking calls on the Wildcard Line at 702-727-1295. That's 702-727-1295. First-time callers can reach Art Bell at 702-727-1222. 702-727-1222. Now, here again, Art Bell.
Once again, here I am. Good morning, everybody. Professor Courtney Brown from Emory is my guest. The subject, remote viewing, and there is some hot information on the way. Part of it is going to have to do with Hale Bopp. There's a new photograph just taken tonight of Hale Bopp. And maybe something big is out there with it. It's in the photograph. Go take a look. It's on my webpage, www.artbell.com. And we'll get to that. We're talking about what remote viewing is, and we'll get back to it in a moment. One addition, thank you, Deborah. Somebody will always do this. Art KTKK, Salt Lake City, is 6:30 on the dial in Salt Lake. Thanks, Art. We'll hear you much better now. That'll begin tomorrow night. Thank you very much for the information, Deborah. Back now to Professor Courtney Brown. Professor?
Art?
Yes, sir. All right.
You know, I might mention, for those viewers, for those listeners who are new, for the new affiliate, that the remote viewing process was originally developed for espionage purposes, but we here at the Foresight Institute do not use it for that any longer. We use it for exploration. We use it for learning more about medical procedures, diagnostic procedures, looking into the cosmos. We use our own modernized version of that. I'm an academic, and all academics improve and change things. My graduate students, if they're any good, and if I'm any good as a teacher, they will always improve what I do and the next generation of thought. So thought always improves and goes on. That doesn't mean anything was wrong with the original military versions at all, but it means that everything changes and modernizes. And when we teach this modern form of remote viewing, we're teaching something that is derived from the military. Four of us in our group were originally trained by different people in the military that started this institute. But none of us were in the military, and none of us took part in that original project. And for people who want to know about that original project, it's best to talk directly to various other people, not just one, but many people who were involved.
How far, Professor, have you modified the protocols from the original military protocols?
Well, there was more than one set of protocols. There was a couple. Actually, there were like three. And what we have done is taken all of those aspects of those and synthesized them, used the good parts of them. There was a couple parts that didn't work well. We don't use those. There was a few parts that worked well but were rarely used, and we expanded those into a full course. We've simplified the language tremendously so it can be taught more easily to larger numbers of people. Nothing was wrong with the original language, but some of it was arcane, unusual verbiage that people normally would not use. And so we streamlined the process quite a bit. In addition, we've added new procedures and tested the new procedures. We have a full, complete medical diagnostic course. It's now being used actively in clinical settings, and we're going to be teaching that first time in 1997.
May I ask?
Interesting thing.
Yes, indeed. May I ask this? With the change in protocols, have you been able to document increased accuracy?
Yeah, we've been able to. Well, what we've noticed is that the teaching is easier, and it's easier to get average people up to a higher level of accuracy quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So we've documented that, and I should say that no one really has to believe anything I say about this. We're putting everything up on the webpage. You can see for yourself. The internet is becoming the mode of communication of detailed information, and in our website, we have free of charge for anyone to see. We have all this information that we're doing. I should also say that we're in the final stages of working through our nonprofit status for the Foresight Institute. And as you know, a nonprofit organization is not owned by anyone. I have never taken a salary from the Foresight Institute. All of the money goes back into the institute. And when our final nonprofit status is completed, it'll be a nonprofit educational institute like any other educational institute in the tradition of the types that I do. And our course fees are very comparable to those of any private university or college.
And so that everybody understands, Farsight Institute was formed in a kind of unusual, strange way. You wrote a book.
That's right. It originally started with me pursuing and obtaining training by one person, a high-ranking person in the original military program, who was a trainer. And then I wrote a book using those procedures called Cosmic Voyage. And it literally was an exploration, a scientific, replicable, and corroborated exploration of extraterrestrials that were visiting Earth. And the two extraterrestrial species that I studied in the book called Cosmic Voyage, and it's available in most bookstores, and if it's sold out in your particular bookstore, it's available by special order. Just go to the desk and tell them to order it, and they'll get it in a few days. But Cosmic Voyage is a scientific, as the subtitle says, a scientific discovery of extraterrestrials visiting Earth. And the two groups of extraterrestrials that I studied are the small guys with the large wraparound eyes called grays that John Mack, the professor of psychiatry, Harvard Medical School, founder of his department, Pulitzer Prize-winning author, wrote about in his book Abduction, his very courageous book of a couple years back. And the other species, the other group that I've written about, is a group that was as shocking to me as it would be to absolutely anyone, and that is survivors of a very ancient race on Mars. And we're about to discover all about them very, very soon. But the full information about that is in the book, Cosmic Voyage, and on the website, and I've talked about it on your show twice.
All right. Well, certainly not since your big announcement, and we're going to get to that. But again, a few questions about basic remote viewing.
Sure.
People are sending faxes. Please ask Dr. Brown, can a person be aware of the fact that they are being remote viewed?
A natural psychic who's very, very good. Now, you don't have to be a natural psychic to learn scientific remote viewing. You can just be a person off the street, just a normal, well-balanced individual. That's the whole idea about it. The military was able to train people who are not natural psychics because Engelswan figured out what his mind was doing when he could accurately perceive and describe in intimate detail what was going on another side of a planet or in another room or anywhere. And a natural psychic, though, is someone who has an intuitive feeling of what that information feels like when it comes across. And sometimes they get it, and sometimes they don't. But a very good natural psychic can sometimes perceive that someone is remote viewing them at that time. But generally speaking, all humans, they cannot.
They're right. If so, in the case of a natural psychic, what specifically would be the tip-offs? You might be able to answer that. For example. If you were being remote viewed, do you think you would be aware of it?
Well, yes and no. If I was occupied by something else and concentrating on something else, I would just ignore it. But you have to understand, remote viewing is absolute positive proof. The ability that we can remote view means that we're more than our physical bodies. Otherwise, we couldn't remote view. Developed in laboratory conditions and now operationalized under laboratory conditions with the strictest of controls, remote viewing procedures demonstrate here at the Farsight Institute, as it has done elsewhere, that we have a soul, that we are more than physical beings, because the properties of the soul are what we use when we remote view. Now, this soul that we have, we no longer call it just the soul. We call it the subspace mind or the subspace aspect, and there is a whole realm of life out there that's non-physical that we call subspace, and subspace has planets, people, beings, every ghost, we're all ghosts. Once we drop off our physical bodies, we're just subspace people, and that's what a ghost is. And the point is that if someone was remote viewing me, and I was calm and settled, I was meditating or just very settled in my mind, I could perceive that there was a presence there. But there is so much subspace life out there, differentiating between a remote viewer and a subspace being, when there's so much surrounding us all the time, I normally would probably just ignore it.
I understand. All right, Doctor. I don't for a second doubt that we are more than our physical selves. I firmly believe we have a soul and that we exist after death. Having said that, Somebody I'm going to have on the air tomorrow night, Father Malachi Martin, he's advised popes very high in the Catholic Church. Was on my show one time prior. His comment about, and he was very much aware of remote viewing. He said, quote, remote viewing is nitroglycerin for the soul, end quote. And so he does not deny that it is what you say it is. However, a statement like that would seem to indicate that he feels it is very dangerous. And how would you respond to that?
Well, you know, one of the reasons we started the Farsight Institute was because we did not like the way the military was training. We didn't like that approach. Now, this is just my opinion. I am not criticizing the military remote viewers. So if you're a military remote viewer and you're listening to this show, you know.
Believe me, they are.
And they are. You know, understand that I just have a difference of opinion about how the training should take place. And the people here at the Farsight Institute were just very much in agreement that we don't think it should be it should have taken place the way it took place. Now, you know, it's just a difference of opinion. So,
well, but that's fine. Having
so,
said that, Professor, I'm sure his statement would apply both to the military remote viewers and the scientific
remote viewers. He may apply it to anything, but we strongly differentiate the way we do it and the way the military people did it. The way we view the military training program was to teach remote viewing in the absence of a broader structured course in consciousness. The remote viewers of the military had profound spiritual experiences.
Yes.
However,
they were actually ordered to disregard them. These
all sorts of things happen.
Yeah.
Now the point is, though, you know, and again, I tell you, I was not in the military program. So if you want to find out exactly what happened, you have to talk to you know, various people.
Right.
I would always advise never to talk just to one, because every time you talk to one, you'll get a different story than the other, because they all had their own different experiences. So a variety is always the best way to deal with it. But the point is, I admit they had profound spiritual experiences and had a tremendous amount of personal growth. But the way we believe it should have been done, and the way we believe it, is that we think remote viewing in the absence of a structured program and the growth of consciousness leads to a personality formation in which you feel that it's you're better, you're different from the others around you. You can do something. You have an ability. You're special, you're different from, almost better than. Now, this is not saying that every remote viewer felt that they were superior to others, but it leads to a feeling in our view, and I'm just talking about our opinion now. It leads to a view that you're different from others, and that's exactly opposite of the truth. The fact that you can remote view demonstrates that your soul, your subspace mind, is omnipresent. It is all places at once. You don't go out of body when you do this.
Okay.
Thus, that means that literally, we are all connected. Your subspace mind, your soul, Art, right now is permeating all of me and all of the computer and all of the car and all of the planet. And what you do is you shift your awareness from one spot to the next. That means we are literally in each other always, that we are connected. We are. And what we do at the Farsight Institute is we teach remote viewing, yes, our highly modernized version of it, but in the evenings, forever, for our entire course, we talk about other programs that we strongly recommend to support where to place that remote viewing experience. We strongly recommend two things, TM, Transcendental Meditation, and the TM Cities program, which is the advanced version of it. It's a mechanical meditation procedure that literally leads to self-realization. Self-realization simply means you're aware constantly of your physical and subspace mind in a continuous state, and you don't lose it when you're done, when you're hearing all of the five senses, taste, touch, hearing, sight, smell. And the other thing we strongly recommend is the Monroe Institute.
Mm-hmm.
They have two particular products that we strongly recommend. One is an at-home series of tapes, the Gateway Experience 36 tapes, very, very economical, that helps to teach about everything from telepathy to experiences in subspace. And then we strongly recommend an in-residence course at the Monroe Institute called the Gateway Voyage.
Yes, I know
it. Takes about 6 days, and they take you literally through using a mechanical sound-based technology. They have a way of generating brainwave patterns between, very low frequency brainwave patterns between the left and right hemispheres of the brain.
Right.
That can actually duplicate the brainwave patterns of a seer, someone who's in an altered state, someone who's been, say, in the Himalayas for decades.
Yes.
Learning about subspace through their own meditational process.
Yes, I was very honored to have interviewed Robert Monroe before he died, and
yeah.
So I'm familiar with the process. Again, though, Professor, mm-hmm. what do you think Dr. Martin
in the context, in
meant
the context,
when he said nitroglycerin for the
yeah.
soul? What did he mean?
In the context of a larger structured course in consciousness, remote viewing is nothing more than a note-taking procedure. It is totally safe because it's just learning how to see. And when you realize experientially that through the meditation and the Monroe stuff, you know, the broader experience of what's out there, you don't come away thinking that you're different from, separate from, different than, have an ability. You come away thinking that we're literally brothers. We're literally sisters. We're literally connected. And it changes the whole view. And remote viewing, scientific remote viewing, as we teach it, is extraordinarily healthy and safe. It's nothing more than a note-taking procedure.
All right,
may
I ask again, please?
Sure.
If you would respond directly, what do you think this Catholic priest means when he said it's nitroglycerin for the soul? What did he mean?
Because what you're doing again, this is our view at the Farside Institute of what the military people, their approach, of the military approach. It's not a criticism.
All
it's just our opinion.
No, that's fine.
What he's talking about, in my view, as I interpret it, is that you're using the soul to extract information and to advance something in the physical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be the reverse. The physical is supposed to enhance the evolution of the soul. And when you use the soul to spy on people, to track down terrorists, to target people for bombing, for extracting information, whatever, you're using it to advance the physical realm, and you're short-circuiting your own physical life, growth, evolutionary experience. And that's exactly opposite of what it should be done. And what it potentially could result in is someone thinking that they're different from, better than, whatever, you know, the others that surround them, and then producing a personality manifestation that would not necessarily be healthy for this lifetime. I should add that there's a book out that just came out by David Morehouse called The Psychic Warrior.
Yes.
And it just came out, and he had a very severe set of psychological problems that he attributes, whether they were or not, nonetheless he attributes them to his remote viewing experiences.
So when remote viewing then is used to advance the physical, it is in effect a sinful thing, or
a
negative, depending on how you want to look at it, a negative thing for the soul itself.
Because you're using the soul for a parlor trick. You're using the soul to do something, advance something in the physical.
Well, all right, let me give you an example. If you use remote viewing, for example, to detect the presence of, for example, chemical weapons canisters that would be used against our troops, yes, that's in the physical.
That's right, and there's nothing...
And, go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with that application. There's nothing wrong with what that person is trying to do. What I'm saying is that the program of growth in consciousness should have been supplementing the person's training so that they were moving toward complete self-realization in mm-hmm. a structured way, so that they knew, look, you learn how to remote view. You remote view in the middle of the afternoon. You're in the Pentagon. You're looking at something that's on the other side of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting the biological warfare weapons of Saddam Hussein, or you're doing whatever you're doing.
Yes.
And then you go home and you talk to your spouse who's been fighting traffic jams and picking the kids up from the daycare. How do you coordinate the two? It's too much of a disjuncture. There have been reports of family stress because things just weren't normal.
I can imagine that. I can imagine that.
Plus,
in the military, check me if I'm wrong here, they encountered these great spiritual things that the military, of course, wanted nothing to do with because they felt that it was diverting from, you know, the military is very focused. For them, there is a specific mission. Find the canisters, do whatever.
Well,
that's the way they are. And so they disregarded these, didn't they?
Not necessarily, Art. I have to say that you can hear that from some people, but other people in the military have told me that they have had tremendously profound experiences.
Well, I'm sure they did.
And they did not disregard anything, and they put everything up to the higher command. So
all right, doctor.
For each person.
Doctor, hold on. We're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Professor Courtney Brown is my guest. Stay right where you are. It's going to be a wild one.
You are listening to the best of Art Bell.
From the Kingdom of Nye, Coast to Coast AM continues with Art Bell.
Well, all right. Now, to Chuck Schrammett. Boy, I hope I'm saying that correctly. In Houston, Texas, listens to our affiliate, of course, KTRH, and the FM side of KTRH, I guess, as well. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask him about that. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Art. Pleasure to be here.
Good to have you. Pronounce your last name for me, Chuck.
You got very close. Schrammick.
Schrammick, all right. Uh-huh. All right.
I work for the FM side of KTRH, which is KLOL.
Oh, you do? Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't realize you worked for them.
Yes.
All right. Well, that makes you
well,
almost...
Well, technically, I work for Shadow Broadcasting, and they do news, and it's complex. But...
Well, it's in the family, right?
Yeah.
All right.
So
all right.
I hear your voice echoing through the halls there at work all the time, and listen to you all the time here at home.
I see. All right. Well, you are an amateur astronomer, yes?
Have been since I was 8 years old, Art. I'm 46 now.
All right. So, not so amateur.
Well, amateur. I'm an avid, let's put it this way, an avid astronomer. And since Hale-Bopp was first discovered, it's a mind blower to find a comet 20 months out, Art.
You bet.
Remember Kohoutek?
Of course.
They made a big thing of that because that was found 7 months out. Most comets are found 3 or 4. Mm. Kohoutek was 7. Hale-Bopp was 20 months out there. And I knew from the start, something from the start just kind of drew me to this comet to find out all I could and image it. I've been out there every clear night that I can for a couple of months now taking pictures of it.
All right. Well, my guest, Professor Courtney Brown, is going to have a lot to say about Hale-Bopp, and this is sort of a setup for that. You have just taken a photograph. When did you take it? Tonight?
I took it at 6 o'clock this evening.
6 o'clock. All right. Hale-Bopp is how big?
Well, the nucleus, nobody really knows. Fairly small, they suspect. But I don't think anybody knows, although the envelope of gas around Hale-Bopp is several times larger than the sun.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
That's big.
That's big.
That's really
it's a big comet.
Yeah. All right. In this newest photograph you've taken, Hale-Bopp's going to come round the horn and be most visible April, May, something like that, next year, right?
March, April, 97.
All right. All right. And I guess we all knew that, but a lot of people have felt something's going on with Hale-Bopp.
Well, I have, too. There's been... a real lack of pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope or any big observatories. And, Art, I can tell you when they cut them off. It was about May, end of May, 96. And so that got me all the more curious. I can smell when they're...
Why would they do that?
Perhaps they saw something they felt might disturb people.
And now maybe you've got it on film.
Yeah, although this thing, what I photographed tonight, just... showed up. I mean, I have pictures of the comet from last night and the night before. This is a big thing. Not far, I estimate maybe about 150,000 miles away from Hale-Bopp.
Mm-hmm.
If it is as far out as Hale-Bopp, I don't know, Art. It's in the same picture. I'm just making that assumption that it's out there in that neighborhood.
Yes.
It appears to be several times larger than the Earth. I'd guess about 4 times larger than the Earth. And there appears to be what looks like Saturn-like rings. They're very flat. It's almost as if we're looking at them on edge. And, you know, I ran inside. I thought, no, it's just a star. And I look. I have a computer-generated star map. I can tell ahead of time what stars are going to be in the background.
Right.
And there was no star there. I mean, just nothing. There's a couple of stars that show up in the frame to the right of Hale-Bopp. And those showed up, but this big bright thing did not show up. And I checked the date on my watch, I checked the date on the computer, and looked at the pictures coming in again. On the computer, I have a CCD imaging system, and my heart starts going faster and faster and faster, and I realized, this is amazing. I'm photographing something that's actually out there that's big, and I don't have much of an observing window for Hale-Bopp here. It's about 30 minutes. But I saw it that whole time. I have perhaps 100 pictures of it.
What could it be?
Well, that might be an area for Courtney to get into, Art. I have no idea.
All right, whatever it is, it would roughly, if it's in the same area as Hale-Bopp, would be roughly the scale, to scale it, about four times the size of Earth?
And that's real rough. It's certainly larger than the Earth. That's a rough guess. I'll have to go over my pixels later and measure it more carefully.
All right, so if people want to see this image, it's on the website right now, and they can take a look, and we're going to talk to Professor Brown. I just wanted to get you on the air, Chuck.
Thank you, Art.
To let everybody know exactly what you have taken. And by the way, folks, most discoveries of this nature are made by amateur astronomers. Is that not true, Chuck?
Oh, that's absolutely. We're the only ones with enough time on our hands.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks, Art.
Take care. So there you go. That's Chuck in Houston. Working for the FM side of our affiliate there, KTRH. That photograph, ladies and gentlemen, is now on our website. We're going to ask Courtney Brown here in a few moments what it's all about. Maybe he can help. I suspect he can. In addition, up on the website, something very exciting from the good people at Strange Universe, through their auspices, and those of a listener out there someplace or another. There are four totally remarkable photographs of what is said to be a dead chupacabra. And if it is not, then you tell me what it is. They are quite sharp, taken from video. I talked to the people at Strange Universe earlier today, and they were going to bring me a video, but somebody ahead of time sent some still photographs, and we've got them. And they're up there. You tell me what that creature is. I have no idea. So to see the new chupacabra photographs, the photograph of Hale-Bopp that we're about to talk about, the UFO in Central California that is absolutely remarkable, the demon seeds, all on my webpage right now, www.artbell.com. You will find a link up there to the Farsight Institute. That is Professor Brown's webpage. You'll find a link there, and you will see his remarkable announcements. Announcement, I should say, with respect to Mars. And right now, back to Professor Courtney Brown. Professor, did you hear Chuck?
I heard it, and I was actually delighted. He was a delightful guest and had lots of information from an astronomical point of view.
Well, Professor, what the hell is that?
Well, this goes back to one of your questions. Do you have professional remote viewers that do they target things together, and do they do it in a coordinated fashion? Well, after I went to the, I was notified about the picture that was on Mr. Schrammick's website earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing we did is we called up six of our remote viewers, and we need six, two each, in order to do a session. We have a monitor that makes sure the session is going, everything's kosher in the session, and then the viewer, his or herself. And so we set up three pairs, and we had three sessions that came in during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And literally they started around 8 o'clock. Actually, they started around, to be honest, they started around 9:30, 10 o'clock Eastern time, I believe. And the sessions literally just came in. And just before your show started, or actually as your show was starting just tonight, the third session literally came in over my fax, and I have them in front of me. And we have three professional sessions of that object, that anomalous object that's trailing Hale-Bopp. It's a fascinating thing. You know, if we weren't so good with this remote viewing with regard to other targets, verifiable, completely verifiable targets, people would say, hey, you know, what's going on? This has got to be just junk. But you can't ignore this stuff. If you look at the rest of the stuff that we do that's up on our webpage, www.farsight.org, I mean, if you look at all the stuff that our students do, with regard to describing, you know, verifiable targets, the Great Wall of China, the Eiffel Tower, whatever they could be, when we use these same exact procedures with professionals, we get very, very good results. So I have it, and I am willing to tell you as soon as you want me to tell you.
Tell me. What is it?
Well, I've got three sessions here, so I've got to go through all. I've got to go through three, but I'll give you one. This is a very, very competent viewer that's done spectacular stuff for us. There's a lot of information. This person's mind extended out to that area, as we do in remote viewing, and gathered information across time and space to make sense of this thing. Now, I understand this was done under blind conditions, meaning the viewer was not told what the target was.
Right.
A set of random numbers that were generated from a random number table or a computer program were given to that person, and only the monitor knew that those numbers meant this anomalous object that was trailing Hale-Bopp. Moreover, our procedures are so rigid that absolutely no cues, no suggestions are given to the viewer with regard to what the target is. The viewer's subspace mind, the soul, has instantaneous awareness, because it's omnipresent, that those numbers mean whatever the target really is. But the physical, conscious, electrochemical brain, the mind, the physical mind, has no idea what that's about. So the procedure, the viewer goes through the procedures mechanically and just writes down all the information that's related to those numbers, and then comes out with a complete descriptive information about this. Now, the information I'm going to give you is so far-reaching, so incredible, that you're going to be saying, how could this be? But you must understand, the soul is omnipresent, the subspace mind, and the subspace mind can extract all related information, and it comes out in an extremely fast flow, and it's written down. So I'm just going to do things that the person wrote down.
Well, I guess I'm whatever you're going to say, I'm not going to consider it that incredible. You don't suddenly see objects four times the size of Earth,
yeah.
or even twice the size of Earth, appearing like that.
I should also add, Art, that when we heard about this object, we have friends. I'm a PhD. My webmaster's got a PhD in physics. We're all of an academic orientation, and we called up. One of our people called up a professor of astronomy at one of the nation's leading, absolute top 10 leading universities, a close personal friend, a professor in astronomy, and asked, what's going on? And professor of astronomy corroborated everything that Mr. Schrammick just said.
All right, well, then that's another source, because he contacted Richard Hoagland, a guest I've had frequently,
mm-hmm.
and Richard Hoagland apparently has been getting calls on exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
so obviously there's something to this.
This object is approximately four times the size of the planet Earth, and it's headed our way. And that's basically it. But I have I don't know how your commercial break is, but I'll start right now.
We're all right. Go ahead.
Okay. Wherever there are beings, they organize themselves, and we now know that in the galaxy out there, there is something called a Galactic Federation, a council.
Yes.
And this remote viewer went on to describe this. I'm going into the middle of the session. There's a lot of preparatory stuff that I'm just simply going to omit because of time.
Fine.
And this person perceived that this galactic council or some higher order was watching very interested, like they were watching a hologram unfold. It's like watching an election return or something. They are all seated around a table in subspace, looking at a 4D or something like that. They're very serious about this event, which may be happening, going in a direction which is not... That this event may go in a direction which is not evolutionary, but only time will tell, and time is of the essence, and many things are happening. By the way, the person did, of course, the stuff I'm omitting is accurate descriptions that the person did of this object and so on like that. Now,
I'm not sure I want to omit that.
They're coming. They're more accurate as they're coming.
All right.
I'm on page 11, and it's a 40-page session, so I want to make sure I cover the most important stuff.
All right.
Okay, and I won't omit anything that's really important. He perceived immediately that there was a vortex, something spinning, and then he perceived that there were people on the ground here that were looking up, and there was some structure, and the idea of astronomers and others looking up into the sky, looking at some structure up there. And there was also something going on in subspace. There was an attempt to communicate. This is fundamental. There was a message being sent. to someone who is listening but not hearing. It is essential that that this person or persons wake up and listen now. Help will be there when he does.
So somebody here is being sent a message.
Us, the interpretation of this.
Is us, collectively us?
The interpretation of this session so far is that the message is being sent to us. We're listening, but not understanding.
Professor, is this message coming from this object?
Yes, and it's also being coordinated by this larger galactic council. I've reviewed all three sessions, so I'm pulling things from all three sessions.
All right.
That's very clear. There is a large object out there. It apparently is both, it has tunnels in it. It is both technological, artificial, and natural in the sense that it has rock as well as metal in it. It's humongous. It's absolutely large. And it is apparently moving in an artificial means. It's not moving like a normal celestial body means. It's under control. It's a vehicle. It's moving, and it's four times the size of the planet Earth. This is a big ET thing. One thing you must say about the ETs is that when they decide to put on a show,
oh boy,
they know theater. They know theater. This is better than anything on Broadway.
Yeah, it works for me. This is better than ID4.
I tell you, but the good news is that we're not being invaded. That'll come to us later. But the basic idea, and I will come as you give me permission during this 5 hours. I will come to the descriptions of the tunnels and everything else on the thing.
Really?
But just right now, getting to the heart of the matter of what the thing is about. The person's mind was extended is an extremely accurate remote viewer. This remote viewer basically has never failed us with a session. This person is extremely accurate in describing physically what's going on.
Right.
Now, in addition to the physical description, he's saying, there is a message being sent to someone who's listening. I already said that. There is some perception that some people may think of this as a weapon involved, and the decision of some important person that's evaluating and making decisions for many. And I'm interpreting that as probably being the President of the United States, and probably perceiving that this may be a weapon or something. He cannot make a national choice, but it is time, meaning he cannot yet make a national choice.
Wait, doctor. You're saying that the President of the United States, or somebody high on, may be viewing this, and they know about it, as a weapon.
Oh, they absolutely know about this, and they are wondering whether it is some kind of a weapon, and that he's not yet ready to make a national choice, but it is time to make that choice. The reality is it's not a weapon, but the point is that my interpretation of this session is that it's being perceived that that's a possibility.
They will look at it that way, of course.
They will look at it that way. Now, it's made of materials which are borrowed technology.
Borrowed.
People using technology don't understand it and may not open or direct it properly as a result. It's a project. Let me see.
In other words, that says that since they don't fully understand it themselves, they've borrowed the technology, they may misuse the technology, so those viewing it as possibly a national security threat could be correct.
No, there's nothing in this session to think of it as a national security threat.
Well, when you talk of a weapon or the possibility of a weapon,
that's this session's reading that as the perception of the people who are looking at it.
Or if you look at it this way, as somebody with technology they don't understand, you might equate it to a 6-year-old with a .38 in his hand. He doesn't know what it is.
I can't believe it. You know, I skipped over two pages, and that's exactly what the viewer was saying. It's like, let me see. Some of the people involved are like babies. They don't want to be responsible. Their ignorance is dangerous. That's exactly what the guy said.
Oh,
very good, Art.
My. All right, doctor, hold on a moment. We're going to break here at the bottom of the hour. Well, have we got your attention? Certainly the good professor has mine. We're going to break, and we'll be right back and try and digest all of this. I'm Art Bell. This is CBZ.
CBC Radio Network.
All right, again, these are developing events. And I want to be careful. You never know for sure about these things. I mean, this is momentous news, to say the least. And I suppose there could be inaccuracies in it. So I want you to be careful with regard to what you're hearing. I'm sure Professor Brown doesn't feel that way. As a matter of fact, let's find out. Professor, are you there?
Well, actually, Art, what I want to say is that I am sharing our data. These are three remote viewing probes that were just done literally this evening. It's not a full-blown study, but these are very good remote viewers,
right.
And so I'm just sharing the data for whatever it's worth.
And I appreciate that, and I know the audience does. And the photograph is also very, very new, so we're dealing with just, a breaking story here. And I want to be careful, because this is almost War of the Worlds kind of information. Not that anybody out there in New Jersey is being gobbled up right now, but there are some who will react to it that way, Doctor.
And I must add that is a consequence of the ignorance that has literally been caused by the secrecy and the silence that our governments have had for decades on this phenomenon. And the antidote for this type of problem is absolutely not continuation of the secrecy. It is education. Knowledge is the antidote for fear.
All right.
We know now we are not being invaded. I've discussed this extensively in Cosmic Voyage, my book. We have all the new announcements that we've had up on our website. But the point is that people will react in a horrific way.
I know.
That is inaccurate, but nonetheless, that's a consequence of the way we've been immaturely dealing with this subject matter for decades.
How long do you think that our government has known that there is more to Hale-Bopp than meets the eye, or where the eye meets the telescope?
Well, I'll tell you this much. When we called up the professor of astronomy at one of the top 10 major universities in the country, he knew all about it and gave us a list of other astronomers that would be willing to talk about it, and they had been observing it for a long while, and that they are totally aware that the government doesn't want us to know, but doesn't want people to talk about it very much. And I must add that the object is emitting light. It is four times the size of the planet Earth. It is emitting light. It is moving in a way that distinctly gives the impression that it's under intelligent control. And It is when you look at it, the entire surface is uniform in the light that it's emitting, meaning most celestial objects, virtually all, have irregularities in the light pattern, meaning
Correct.
A little darker here, a little lighter there.
You bet.
That object is completely and totally uniform.
Uniform.
And whenever you want, I'll
Doctor,
continue
all right.
with the session and
yes,
tell you what it's all about.
That's fine. Let me, if I might, ask you this. You said already that there is a message coming from it.
That's right.
Now, you would be, it seems to me, uniquely in a position to receive that message.
That's the whole idea behind using literally remote viewing for this type of information.
All right.
Now, remember when I said earlier in the show is that we now know that there is a whole realm of life that's non-physical that we call subspace.
Yes, sir.
And physical. Well, in our procedures, one of the differences between our procedures and the original military procedures is we've added special procedures just to pick up subspace information.
Mm-hmm.
And this viewer, as I'm continuing with the session, went on to dump a tremendous amount of subspace information. He picked up a grid, a communication process that was going on with this object, like a subspace grid, definitely communication, like a matrix. Transportation was involved. Devices were involved with this object. It was an operational. It was like hieroglyphics of another dimension. Universal application. And then he said, there is urgency in understanding this now. The main guy must listen, with an exclamation point. And the main guy, I'm interpreting this as President Clinton, must listen. All right, now let me go on to the, I'm skipping over a few things right now. Definitely there's a vortex. He's picking it up.
What you're hearing, folks, is raw data from a session that was just done literally hours ago.
And we have not had a time to actually synthesize it and make it into a nice, simple story, so you're getting it raw, which is actually more spine-tingling to actually get it. Then he drew a picture, which is uncanny, a picture of beings looking up at this structure, and then he also drew a picture of the matrix, the actual information matrix. The whole idea is that the beings, whoever they are trying to communicate with us. Okay, now, the main guy, which I'm assuming to be President Clinton, The main guy needs to listen, or too many people will not be allowed. Actually, they'll be disturbed by something. There are many people, beings, interested. Some type of a partnership is underway with regard to the subspace column. The structures may be discovered or utilized before the entire decoding process is handled. And then he goes on into a lot about this decoding process.
Wait. What does that mean? The structures that may be utilized.
Meaning, the structure is the structure we're looking at up in space.
Yes.
And it's got some information it's trying to, its whole purpose is to convey to us some information, and we have to decode it. It's our process, our educational process, to understand what it's trying to say. And most of what it's trying to say has to deal with not just the physical, but the subspace realm of life. Now, going on with the session, some people think the object and devices are to be weapons, but the purpose is not as a weapon. And then he clearly deducts that the government and secrecy is involved in all of this. Actually, then there also is some potential for harm right now due to the lack of faith in the leaders, and that is almost certainly a result of people getting upset because of this.
All right. Well, look,
thing and not going into the
again.
Not
let me stop you very briefly. Something this massive, this unknown, is going to produce fear. It is going to be viewed by our government, and it is the way governments react to these kinds of things as a national security threat. And if we respond to it incorrectly or fail to receive the message, then I assume there is danger.
Yes, because people will panic and they can get out of hand. But now, look, you're actually bringing up the very next page. The viewer is picking up the concept that there's going to be an event, that there are events that are coming, military and the government, and power is being used. And then he says, they are not seeing what they think they are. They have not properly decoded the messages. And then the viewer was given a movement exercise to move to the target object and describe, and it is holistic, he says. In a multidimensional sense, the purpose must be discovered by those who intend to or have used it. The object is not made by materials known by us. He actually went on to say that it is sentient to the origination,
sentient.
Meaning it's somehow aware of itself with regard to its point of origin. Now,
holy moly.
The guidance system of the object. Now, remember, this person, this viewer, was never told anything but a couple random numbers, and now he's immediately picking up that there's a guidance system for this object. It's a composite of materials and organic material, of minerals. I'm sorry. The guidance system for this object is a composite of minerals and organic material in a matrix of thought. It is intended as a device for vibrational instruction. Some have looked at it and not decoded the unlocking or keying mechanism properly.
And
it can be a danger to those as a result, probably because of
when he keeps saying they or some have, is he referring to
our government?
Our government. All right, I'm wondering.
Yeah, actually, he doesn't know that. That's my interpretation of this because it's quite clear.
It seems
that's
clear.
That's what an analyst does with this data afterwards.
Yep. It seems clear.
Yeah, and the decoding will happen if the leadership chooses, only if they decide. Power or the reigning power. The reigning power structure is preventing the proper decoding. The machine/device interacts with DNA and is, in essence, a calibration mechanism. And he's already picking up concepts of NASA being involved.
What does that mean, a calibration mechanism?
Well, it's actually, you know, I'm straying from the session now and extrapolating.
I know. I'm asking you to interpret things that you cannot interpret.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming what this is doing. You know, we have been asleep for a very long time. We're dominated by our five physical senses, taste, touch, sight, hearing, smell. And I'm assuming that the machine is actually our remote viewers have been picking up a machine along this lines for a long time, and we've been wondering what it's all about.
Uh-huh.
But that the machine/device is acting to awaken us to who we actually are. Most people don't even know they have a soul. They walk around in the street eating hamburgers and things like that, and they don't even know that they're more than physical bodies because the sounds, actually the five senses are so loud, like a boombox in their ear, they don't even know the residual flavor of the soul until they die, and then they pop out of the body, and the and the sort of the Whoopi Goldberg sense of the Ghost movie. Remember Ghost with Whoopi Goldberg and Patrick Swayze?
Yes, of course. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It takes the death experience to say, "Oh my Lord, what was that? You mean I was a physical being for a while?" Our DNA is structured to dominate the five senses, so that we have to use specialized procedures like remote viewing, TM, the TM Cities program, stuff with the Monroe Institute, in order to gather information from the other side. And there's a purpose for that. But at some point in our evolution, we need to awaken so that we can recombine our two selves. And apparently this machine has some purpose in recalibrating us, in awakening us of who we are. It's definitely not a weapon. Now, should I go on?
Yes, by all means.
Some organization, and he puts down the government, he's suspecting his government, has taken pictures of the object. Now remember, Art, this person wasn't told anything but a couple random numbers, nothing else. Some organization, and he suspects the government, has taken pictures of the object and is distributing to sources who may endanger the project as a result. The decoding must occur. It is essential. The language is subspace, as we call it, but it is actually thought form, and it must occur to unlock the keys. Now, and he goes on, secrets are being kept, but the message to the government by the assisting beings is to reveal the secrets. It is crucial for the leadership to wake up and listen. This is uncanny stuff. This is why we love doing this. Remote viewing is fun, Art.
Well.
Now listen, the object is known by the government due to satellite and reconnaissance photos. They don't know what it is for. I'm assuming he's talking now about the Hubble telescope, which we've not been getting clear pictures of since May, but believe me, they've got good photos. Then he's finally getting really close, and he says, the target object is a big, and he underlined big and in capital letters, object. Mm-hmm. It is subspace and physical. All beings are involved. Then he says, humans assisted in the technology in the days of Atlantis. Oh, my Lord, we're probably talking... We may be talking Zachariah and Sitchin's 12th planet. I mean, it's a very huge object.
Well, whatever anyway, this is, yes, it's big.
And then he goes on. It is on a journey, a mission of awakening from the center of the belt system. It is traveling through the Earth and other star systems. The goal is awakening. It is like a device for meditation to some of the groups. My Lord, then he writes down enlightenment. And in the concepts column, he writes down consciousness, enlightenment. The object's destination is not a place, but an awakening. It is on a mission, but has been intercepted in photos only. But the photos are used to feed misinformation. We're not at the end, Art.
The photos are used to feed misinformation?
Yes, because they're looking at the photos and saying, what is this? Is this a device? Is this a weapon? Are we under threat? They're not understanding the purpose of the object, which is to wake us up to ourselves, to our true selves, so that we can be active participants in the galaxy of life. The whole problem is the government has decided to go the route of secrecy and not educate the people, and now they've got a problem on their hands because of that. Now they've got the problem of trying to deal with a panicky populace that's not been educated for decades, and they have to now, and the ETs can't wait any longer, and they finally have to send some large ship in here to help awaken us, and the other events that I've already announced on our webpage, which is just basically describing the remote viewing data that our remote viewers are getting, are all... If it's rattling to the people, it's not the ET's fault. We have to change our behavior. We have to understand that education, I'm a professor, believe me, Art, I know, education, knowledge is the antidote for fear. If the government has a problem on their hands right now, it's one of their own making. They've got to stop the secrecy.
Doctor, I've got a little of my own fear right now. I'm sitting here on my own website looking at this photograph.
Yeah.
You're quite right. The object is evenly... lit, nearly as I can tell. It appears to have some sort of ring about it. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say if that might be flare or a ring, but it looks like it could be a ring, and it is big. How could something like this, astronomically, Doctor, mm-hmm. just suddenly appear? How could that be?
Well, obviously we're dealing with levels of technology that are not simply physical. In order to move something physical like that, you're talking energies that we don't understand at the current time. And in addition, the remote viewing session is clearly saying that we're dealing with strong subspace as well as physical presence. So we're talking about a level of technology. This thing has a purpose. This thing has no one built that thing for a small purpose. That thing was tremendous amount of investment was put into that thing. And we should be honored in a sense that they think highly enough of us humans to actually send an extraordinarily valuable device in our direction to help us out. Believe me, nothing in the remote viewing sessions that we have, any of them, none of them suggest anything like an invasion or anything like hostility.
Understand.
It's all oriented around awakening us evolutionarily so that we can become mature people. Mature beings that can join the community of worlds out there. We've got tons of information about this.
Doctor, may I ask you, are you able, or would you be able to remote view somebody in our leadership to decide how they are considering responding to this and what they are doing with the information at the highest levels?
Now you're getting back to our earlier announcements of a couple weeks ago that we put up on our website that's still there. And we have actually remote viewed the President of the United States with regard to this types of information. And we do definitely see the President making an announcement at some point. Now, we don't know if the announcement comes before or after the ET event.
Uh-huh.
But as an analyst and as a political scientist, I look at Clinton. I look at President Clinton and I say, you know, he tried once to force the agenda prematurely with his health care bill. Early on in his first term, and he got his nose bit off. It was a difficult thing. Since then, he's not really pushed things out there before the public's ready. If I were to read President Clinton right now, he won't make an announcement until one of two things happen. Either the event actually occurs and it's obvious, or he's totally convinced that the event is absolutely imminent and nothing can be done about it.
Well, it's beginning to look pretty imminent to me.
It's awfully imminent.
Doctor, hold tight. We're at the top of the hour and we've got a break. I'm sorry, but we've got a break. It's the nature of network radio. We've got to adhere to the clocks. Look, you get up there and take a look at this object. It's on my webpage now. That's www.artbell.com. We'll be right back. This is CBC.
Toll-free, west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255, east of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033, 1-800-825-5033. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It is, and what we are discussing this morning is so startling that I want you please to exercise caution. If there are children in the room, please get them out. If you are easily freaked out, then turn it off yourself, please. We'll get back to my guest, Dr. Courtney Brown, and an update from Houston. Those who just joined us this hour, and there are many stations that have, we are really in the middle of it here. And I'm going to explain all of this in a moment. I'd like to welcome KYKN AM in Salem, Oregon, joining us tonight. I'd like to welcome WNDB in Daytona Beach, Florida, joining us tonight. I'd like to welcome WCHB AM, our new affiliate in Detroit, Michigan, 25,000 big watts on 1200. That's a big one in Detroit, folks, WCHB. Welcome to Live Talk Radio, and you might call WCHB and thank them for picking the program up there in Detroit. Also, we are switching affiliates in Salt Lake City. We are moving to KTKK beginning tomorrow night. KTKK in Salt Lake City, Utah. They are 6:30 on the AM dial there. So if you're in Salt Lake, beginning tomorrow night, you will find us there. Now, what are we talking about? I'm going to have to retrench a little bit. I got a fax earlier tonight from Chuck Schrammick in Houston. He works for the FM side of my affiliate in Houston, KTRH, and it says the following, urgent. Strange object sighted near Hale Bopp. Art, I have just taken some amazing pictures of Hale Bopp. They show a Saturn-like object near the comet. This thing, if it's solid and near the comet, would be four times the size of the Earth. I've called Hoagland, meaning Richard Hoagland. He says there have been other calls about this strange thing that just showed up tonight. To see it, and then he gives his website address. Well, because we knew the traffic would be astoundingly large, and it is large, we've put it up on my webpage, and I thank Chuck for that. And I'm sitting here looking at the photograph right now. It is a gigantic object. And it seems to have just appeared, and we're talking with Professor Courtney Brown, and we'll get back to the professor in a moment. But once again, for the sake of the audience, who probably is saying to themselves, what the hell is he talking about? I want to bring back Chuck, who took the photograph, an amateur astronomer in Houston, Texas. Uh-oh, I think I just did something I shouldn't have done. Chuck, are you there?
I'm here, Art.
All right, good. Chuck, once again, please describe to everybody, to get me out of the middle of this, when you took it, what you've got, what you think it might be.
Okay, Art, I've been taking pictures of Hale Bopp for almost 2 months now. Every night it's clear out here. I mean, the comet has been such an amazing thing. I've been drawn to it since it was first announced. Mm-hmm. And I have a 10-inch telescope with a CCD imaging system. It's a fairly sophisticated piece of equipment. And what struck me tonight, and it wasn't even quite dark yet here in Houston. I was just focusing on the comet. The computer and the telescope will steer the telescope to the comet. And I was so amazed because I thought, my goodness, I wasn't expecting to see a bright star next to it. I have a computer program that can generate the field of view that I'll see when I go out there, so I'll pretty much know ahead of time what I'm going to see. And there were no bright stars predicted to be anywhere around Hale Bopp. And Art, I ran inside the house, looked at the one computer, the program, the map, the star map, went back outside and looked at the telescope picture on the computer monitor and back and forth, and I checked the date, and I went, whoa, there's something real that is there. And as I played with the exposures and got some longer exposures, and as it got darker, I could see not only was this a round thing and very bright thing, it had what appeared to be, I call it ring-like things. It reminds me of looking at Saturn when the rings are almost on edge.
All right, Chuck, can I stop you there for a second?
Yeah.
When you look at the photograph, and you look at Hale Bopp in the photograph, very bright, with a corona about it, a gigantic corona,
uh-huh,
that frankly extends almost over to this other object, very nearly anyway.
Right.
There is a kind of flare, and I'm not an astronomer, and I don't do this kind of photography. How much of what we're seeing with respect to the corona is a product of the brightness of the object flaring in the camera?
Oh, almost none, Art. It's all the gaseous emissions from the comet.
All right. So then this thing that looks like a ring, almost like a Saturn ring around the object, would not be a camera flare.
No, I thought of that, and I have about 100 pictures of it. For one thing, I would move it around the field of view and placed it in different spots on the frame, and it always came back the same way.
I see. All right.
There's also a slight curvature to it as well.
Uh-huh. You talk.
I've seen flares, and that's not it.
All right. You talked to Richard Hoagland in the evening as well.
No, I talked to his secretary.
His secretary.
Right.
And what did she tell you?
She told me there had been other calls about it, and Richard was busy at the moment, But I informed her of the web page address, and they apparently got over to it.
All right.
And I have not spoken to Richard tonight.
Again, there's no way to place this object with respect to its proximity to Hale-Bopp. But if it is approximate to Hale-Bopp, it would be about four times the size of Earth?
That's rough, but I would say that's real close, yeah.
All right.
It appears on that frame there, on my picture, it looks about as big as Saturn does. However, that thing, whatever I photographed tonight, is three times closer than Saturn.
Uh-huh.
So it's smaller than Saturn, larger than the Earth, maybe a third the size of Saturn, four times the size of Earth. I have to get down and actually do some pixel computations to figure out the exact size.
Yeah, it's early.
By the way, it doesn't show up in the picture art, but it is considerably brighter than the comet. That picture just sort of washes out and everything becomes a white. But by manipulating the pixels and stretching it different ways like I can do, it is considerably brighter than the comet.
All right, I've got Professor Brown, as you know, on the line. I'm sure you've been listening.
Oh, yes.
The professor says he has checked with one of the big astronomical universities, and they have confirmed that whatever in the hell this is, it really is there, and it appears to be very evenly lit, which it should not be.
That's what I noticed about it, yes.
You too, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
I can digitally measure the, with 16-bit resolution, I can digitally measure each pixel. And across the front of that, every lit portion on there is 57,000. It's very evenly lit, unlike the comet, which has a gradient to it from the center of the comet outward.
And this object, when was the last time you observed Hale-Bopp, other than this evening, this last evening?
The night before last.
And you're telling me, this object wasn't there?
No.
Chuck, that's impossible.
I know. It seemingly it is, Art. I mean, because that's a big thing there, and celestial mechanics would dictate that somebody would have had to see that thing move into position there.
All right. Chuck, my friend, thank you.
Thank you, Art.
Take care. That's Chuck Schrammick in Houston. And so I'm not sure what to make of this myself, folks. Let us now go back to Atlanta and Dr. Courtney Brown. Professor Brown, are you there?
I'm here, Art.
All right. I felt I had to do that, Professor.
It was wonderful. In fact, I really like Mr. Schrammick. I thought he did a great job.
Well, this is such rock you back in your seat information that I had to redo this. I just had to for my own sanity.
I'm also a little concerned about the new listeners that have just come in and don't really know the data gathering procedures, but of remote.
I'm concerned about myself. Just in hearing all this, we will cover that again briefly. But Doctor, you've contacted a top 10 astronomical university. Is that correct?
One of the best of the best.
One of the best of the best, and they confirm this object is there.
This professor of astronomy confirmed that the object is there, many astronomers have been watching this thing, and that a number of them are willing to talk. We're going to be calling them tomorrow. I want to say something, Art.
Doctor, how does he explain it?
Well, this astronomer said that it's quite clear that the thing seems to be moving under artificial control, and that it is emitting light. And it's completely uniform in terms of the light. There's no dark spots or light spots. Exactly what Mr. Schrammick said. Hmm. And
all right.
That it also, you know, I must say that the comet is too far away from the sun to have that much of a halo around it, that much of a
right.
corona around it. And it's probably being boosted up a bit by this object. But anyway, the object itself is emitting light. And again, I've still got a number of pages of this first remote viewing session that really puts the cap on what this object actually is.
All right. We better do this, though. Professor, I've got your resume here, but would you please tell the audience, many of whom are probably just tuning in because of the remarkable nature of what we're talking about, tell them who you are and what you do, please.
Okay. I'm Dr. Courtney Brown. I am a professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. I am also president of the Farsight Institute in Atlanta, Georgia. That's F-A-R-S-I-G-H-T. And we teach here at the Farsight Institute a highly modernized course of something called scientific remote viewing. It was originally developed by the U.S. military and used for espionage purposes. We have taken that original military technology, civilianized it, and teach it to people. And it's a data gathering process. It you might consider it akin to a psychic procedure, but the accuracy rates is way above 85%. It's been used operationally in the military, in the Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA, not the CIA, the DIA, during the 80s and 90s. Officially, the program was stopped in the Defense Intelligence Agency. I actually do know now that it's not stopped. There's actually still something still going on. But that's another whole story. You can talk about that on another day.
It's a
military Defense Intelligence Agency technology that we are now using and teaching in the civilian realm for exploration and evolutionary purposes. And again, we have an accuracy rate per session of people do everything they say, and there's no technical mistakes, of above 85%.
All right. And you targeted this object again last night, literally hours ago, and you've got a rough report from your most trusted remote viewers.
We sent three professionals to this target under totally blind conditions. They were just told to go through the procedures. They were not told what the target was. And then they came back with three fully corroborating information-packed sessions detailing everything. And understand, this stuff has a reliability sufficient for people to have their lives risked on the battlefield. I mean, this stuff is extremely reliable when it's done correctly.
All right, look, I've got a fax here from somebody in Santa Rosa. This is just typical. I've got zillions of them. This one says, Art, this talk about Hale-Bopp and ETs scares the poop out of me. Is this real, or is it a modern War of the Worlds broadcast? Michael in Santa Rosa.
Okay, Art, this one is real. Look, I've been talking about this for the longest time. I want to say something. This is very important. In the events that are going to be coming over the next months, I want you to understand that my role is the same as all of those here who are at the Farsight Institute, and that is educational, informational, removal of fear by teaching. This is something that should have been done long, long ago, but I want you to know that we will always play a supportive role to the government, to the planet, to the species. We are not out to try to rattle people. We're trying to get them over a hump. We should not be in this situation, but we have been dealing with planetary governments that have been using secrecy for decades now with regard to the ET phenomena. And the ETs are finally pulling the card, saying you just can't continue this realm of secrecy anymore.
How much do you think our government, and for how long has our government known that something was different with Hale-Bopp?
A good indication is what Mr. Shramek said, is that the Hubble Space Telescope pictures started to be removed in May.
Yes.
So probably that's as good an estimate as any. Now, remember, Art, I still have more information from this first session.
I understand. Well, Chuck is absolutely correct. I've heard this from many sources, that our government began removing the Hubble photographs for some reason around May. That's correct.
Well, I'm just going on what he says. I don't have any independent information.
Well, I've heard that from others, whatever it's worth.
It matches everything that I've seen with other realms as well.
Yeah. All right. I would like you to continue, if you would, but well, maybe before you do, for the sake of those who have joined, you should summarize, if it's possible,
mm-hmm.
The first portions of the report that you you read to us.
Well, the basic idea is that this object four times the size of the planet Earth, is composed of both natural and technological composite materials. Most importantly, it is a device, but that it is also not just an inanimate object like a doorknob. It actually has a sentience about it, and the object is being thought of as a weapon by people here in the United States by our own middle by our own political leadership. That's what the session is coming back with.
Are you sure?
But it's not a weapon.
Are you sure of that?
All the data says, and this was a totally blind session. I have absolutely no reason to mistrust any of these three sessions, that it is being perceived of as a weapon or possibly thought of as a weapon, but it is not a weapon.
Well, if our government doesn't realize that it's not a weapon and proceeds on the assumption that it is, then something really horrible could happen.
Well, that's what we're talking about, and that's actually going on to what's left in the session. Let me read one statement that even for people who have heard it before, they'll want to hear it again, and it will help with the new people. This is directly from the session, from the remote viewing session. And this is one of our very best remote viewers. He's never failed us. The guidance system is a composite of minerals and organic material in a matrix of thought. It is intended as a device for vibrational instrumentation. Some have looked at it and not decoded the unlocking or keying mechanisms properly. All right, and it is a danger to those and some others as a result because they're not interpreting it correctly. And the danger, of course, as I interpret it, is them making mistakes and causing panic and stuff like that.
It's sending us a message. It's trying to get us a message right now. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. And this machine, device, object, humongous object, actually interacts with our DNA in some fashion. It has it's partially physical and partially non-physical, subspace.
Doctor, hold it right there. We'll be right back to you. Somehow I always felt I would be on hand for this. You're listening to the CBC Radio Network.
And now, back to the best of Art Bell.
For those just tuning in, called by friends probably in the middle of the night saying something like, my God, quick tune in, you've got to hear this. You're listening now to Dr. Courtney Brown, Professor Brown, an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, also president of the Farsight Institute of Scientific Remote Viewing, also in Atlanta. At Emory, he specializes in nonlinear mathematical modeling of social phenomena, environmental politics, and elections. He has held the Charles Grove Haynes Professorship at UCLA and was a Hewlett Fellow at the Carter Presidential Center at Emory University. Dr. Brown recently published the book Cosmic Voyage, A Scientific Discovery of Extraterrestrials Visiting Earth, in which he presents research that was conducted using the U.S. military-derived remote viewing espionage protocols to study the ET phenomenon. Here, once again, is Dr. Brown. Doctor, without hesitation, I'm going to have you in a second continue moving through the report that you got just tonight on this object.
All right.
I did have Father Malachi Martin on. He's going to be on again tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is reminding me by fax. The good father said last time he was on, keep your eyes on the sky between the winter of 96 and the spring of 97. I wonder if this is what he meant.
Well, you know, on our, this could be, but the idea is that on our website at www.farsight.org, we have had two announcements about upcoming and very soon to happen ET events and extraterrestrial events and with regard to humans that are really big wake-up calls. One has to deal with a rescue operation that's going to take place with a group of ETs that are actually on Earth at the time, and there'll be lots of ships involved. And the other has to deal with a huge flyover of ships. I mean, potentially hundreds of thousands of ships that are going to be flying over every place just to wake everybody up, just to get everybody to see it.
Well, I'm waking up this morning just based on this breaking news, and of course we haven't even gotten to that amazing announcement.
Yeah, in fact, the reason you wanted me on the show in the first place was for me to describe those other two announcements, but this thing happened tonight, and I was fortunate enough to be able to assign three pairs of remote viewers to this target to get the information that we have now about it.
All right, please continue with that report. Let's get through with what we've got right now.
All right. The target, target object, when the viewer went on and continued to probe the target object using this these scientific remote viewing protocols, the target object, and again, for those who are new to the show, these were protocols that were that are a modernized version of those techniques that were used for espionage purposes by the U.S. military, developed by the U.S. military and the Defense Department during the 1980s and 90s. And this is a modernized, civilianized version of those procedures.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the target object. The target object is involved with the process of awakening, unfolding, and it's also very deeply involved with the with consciousness. This is no joke. Now, the viewer, the remote viewer, actually drew a sketch, a multi-dimensional sketch, with components in it. It looks like a matrix. It's not just two-dimensional, more than three-dimensional. It had telepathic decoding and transportation aspects within it. And then the viewer went on to describe what this has meant, because the viewer was trying to describe and diagram so many pieces of information that were coming through using this espionage technology that were coming through at the same time using this remote viewing technology. And the reviewer wrote, "Energy is matter and thought in the middle of the object. All that can be seen appears 3D to the viewers. That is why they have misjudged the use." Now, he's talking now about the government and astronomers who are simply looking at the three-dimensional object and wondering what it is used for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? "They," meaning the government and astronomers and so on, "have been given the thought balls of the matrix, but will not awaken and listen." Now, the idea is that the object is both a subspace object and a physical object, and it is deeply involved with the concept of thought, subspace life, which is, as I described in the early part of the program, all of that that is beyond the physical, from the realm of the spirit, planets. There are subspace planets, subspace everything. Everything that's in the physical is also in subspace plus more, and including our own souls.
And yet this is a gigantic, humongous physical object, isn't it?
And subspace object combined.
And subspace, all right.
Now, then the viewer went on to say, "The methods of awakening must alter," and he's talking about the awakening of us. "The subspace grid is the unlocking mechanism and must be understood by the leadership of the United States. Other countries on Earth, as an organization and organism, will follow what the U.S. says." Remember, this person is getting this information and was not told. It was a totally blind session, with no leading cues at all. The only thing that person was told was a set of random numbers that are called the target coordinates, which have no meaning at all to the conscious mind.
Right.
Now, then the viewer goes on. "The time is now essential because the people cannot survive without full retrieval and operation of devices. There are more of them coming." My Lord.
What?
My Lord.
There are more of these coming?
Apparently. There's DNA change, there's DNA in the concepts column of the matrix he's writing, there's DNA involved, there's somehow exchange, ionization, grids, lattices, through thought balls, all of this was coming to him in this extremely accurate remote viewing procedure. Remember, to those who are new to the show, this procedure is described in my book, Cosmic Voyage, and in detail up on the website, www.farsight.org, and it was used operationally for the military. Good enough to risk men and women's lives on the battlefield for. All right, now, and this is a modernized version of the original military stuff. All right, now, he goes on. "There is nothing original anywhere," this viewer perceives. "This object was a joint project of all the beings involved, or it could not happen here now."
Wow.
"All future races, greys, humans, Martians, and others, like Andromedans, were involved in this project." Heavens. "The ones on Earth..." Okay, it says here...
Remember, everybody, again, we're getting this data raw.
Yeah, I've not had time. This has just come in, so
this
it it came in while the show was beginning. I had the viewers target this object just this evening. The Greys... one of the groups of extraterrestrials, which I've talked about extensively in my book, Cosmic Voyage, and John Mack has also talked about in his book, Abduction. He's the professor of psychiatry at Harvard. The Greys were instrumental in the technology because they had it. in the construction of this thing. The Galactic Council is watching with serious intent because it is the humans who are causing a delay. They understand, but are very eager. There is a window of opportunity now. Now, the viewer then went on and cued on the target object's purpose. The purpose is awakening and transportation. It is like a form of meditation for the group needing it. It has been discovered by a government group in the U.S., which does not have a clue. They are trying to use it for another purpose in their total ignorance and arrogance, the person was perceiving.
Figures.
The purpose is galactic evolution and is humanitarian in application. Art, this is not an invasion, regardless of what people may be thinking in the beginning when they first see it. The ETs have been flying under our noses. By the way, that's the end of this one session. I've got two others that are totally corroborating and actually have other overlapping and new information. But the idea is that the ETs have been flying under our noses for decades. It has been us who have been keeping our heads in the sand like the proverbial ostrich. And finally, the ETs are saying the time, for some reason, must come now for our awakening.
Do we know why it must be now?
Well, actually, we talk about that on the announcements that I've had that we've had on the website on our website recently, and we've got two pieces of information about that.
All right, now this is absolutely startling, because before you got this photograph, before you got the sessions about what's in this photograph, you were saying that our President Clinton, is about to announce what we've all thought was coming.
Now let me say something about time, Art. Time is a measurement. It really does not exist. It honestly does not exist. I don't know if I'll have time to go through this, but you may want me to talk about it later. But time is only an illusion of our genetic structure, meaning we cannot see in the past, present, and the future. We cannot see anything but the present unless we use specialized techniques of consciousness, such as scientific remote viewing. But the reality is, everything that happened in the past is still going on. Everything that happens in the future is still there. There is nothing but the here and now. And when we remote view in the past, present, or future, there is no experiential difference. Thus, when we actually remote view into the past or the future, it's easy to find something in the past on a timeline, because we know the nature of the event and we know the timeline that we have traveled on. But when we remote view into the future, timelines are very difficult, because time doesn't exist. A measurement does not exist. Only events exist. So we were not able to say in our message, in our announcements, the two announcements that we've had up on the webpage.
Exactly when,
because it's so hard to pin down time. But what we can do is identify events and people. And what we did see is President Clinton making this announcement. Now,
well, we know one thing. Constitutionally, he's only going to be there for four more years.
So it's got to be within the 4 years. And the only other caveat to this, and I, people that hear this understand, try not to be cynical. I'm just explaining a complicated reality. The only other small caveat that I don't think is going to apply in this situation, but it is a caveat, is that it is possible to change a timeline, especially when you're talking about the future. That's what we're trying to do with our website. We're trying to do with the Farsight Institute. We're trying to actually change what we see as not a very productive future into a much more productive future with regard to revelation and growth. Mm-hmm. And so it is possible for us to see something in the future and change the current so that it changes the future, and that thing that happens in the future doesn't happen. And so it is possible that we could see President Clinton, and because of that, something could happen, and President Clinton wouldn't do what we saw, because we would have changed our timeline and left that timeline and started a new timeline.
Having said that,
I think it's almost, I don't see how it's possible to avoid at this point. I think we're on this timeline, and President Clinton's involved in this timeline, and I don't personally see how he could get away, how he could not follow through particular thing.
Spill the beans. What do you expect him to do?
Well, what we're seeing in our remote viewing, and this is assuming we're going to maintain it we're assuming that this is sufficiently near-term in the timeline
mm-hmm.
that it's easier to predict the near-term stuff because the timeline is closer to what we are on.
Sure.
But what we're expecting is that there are going to be two major ET events besides the one that we're just talking about now, the Hale-Bopp thing. The major ET events are there's going to be some volcano that's going to go off in the southern hemisphere, meaning south of our border, either in Mexico or south of that.
Mm-hmm.
Could be in Peru, Nicaragua, could be anywhere south of our border, because we see Hispanic residents on the side of the Hispanic-speaking residents on the side of the volcano. The volcano is going to pop. Those residents are actually, they're human, but they're really inside their bodies. We're all composite beings. Inside their bodies are beings that are fundamentally Martian, survivors from an ancient Martian civilization. I explain all of this in my book, Cosmic Voyage. I'm sorry we have so short time on this show. Even though we have 5 hours, it's really short for such a complicated subject.
Right.
When that volcano goes off, there's going to be a rescue effort. ET ships are going to show up overhead, and it's going to be a beautiful, spectacular display that everyone will see. The best public relations thing you could ever imagine. A natural occurrence, a catastrophe. There's not any human problems. It's not a war between two human groups. A natural disaster. And ET ships come down and actually rescue the people before they're swallowed up by the lava. Basically that.
It's sort of an intergalactic FEMA operation.
Yes, and it's a way to alert us humans that, in fact, these ETs are benign, good, gentle. They're trying to tell us that we're not supposed to be afraid of them. And then what's going to happen soon after that is, and we're assuming it'll be a few days, but we don't really know the exact timing. What's going to happen after that is a major flyover of perhaps hundreds of thousands of ships.
Mm.
By the way, these are going to be flown mostly by the Greys, these short guys with the wraparound eyes. Mm. They've had a lot of bad publicity because they're so different from us.
Bad press.
But, yeah, they just hired the wrong Madison Avenue ad firm. That's the only problem. The reality is they're just like us. They're composite beings just like us. And they're actually involved in a genetic change program that involves half of us. And their future selves are half human. And I have to say, in one sense, once you get past all of the fear and the ignorance about it, you have to say that they have honored us they have honored us and chosen us as their parents. And in a very real sense, their future genetic self is half of us. It's sort of like someone coming and saying, I want you to be my dad. Or I want you to be my mom. That's a great thing. Anyway, they're going to be flying over with what we assume is going to be hundreds of thousands of ships. That's how many we see. And they're flying everywhere to completely alert everybody. It's a whole planetary thing. They're not interested in alerting only one nation or two nations. This is a whole species involvement, planetary involvement.
No, it'll be planetary involvement, all right.
Yeah. Now, those are the two announcements that we put up.
As a matter of fact, Doctor, it seems to me as though it all begins tonight.
Yes, it seems like this. And we were sort of caught off guard. The ETs very happily keep surprises in store for us. And we know that we have an educational role to play. We're not to choose sides. Humans have free will. They can choose whatever they want to do. But the point is, we have an educational role as remote viewers, as far-seers, to explain what's going on. And this is why it's so important the ETs, we think, really want us to play this educational role, because the big stumbling block on our human interaction with the rest of the galaxy has always been on the level of consciousness. It's never been on the level of physical technological devices.
It's fear. Doctor, it's fear. There's going to be a lot of fear out there. There already is tonight as a result of what we've said and what we've presented so far. Fear.
I understand.
A big object like this headed in is going to produce fear. Now, on the part of our government, that's the part that I really want to bore in on,
mm-hmm.
because you're saying they don't see this the way it should be seen. They're seeing
this as
a fearful thing. They're seeing it possibly as a weapon.
They're just like everybody else. They're physical humans. And our genetic structure right now is oriented. There's a reason why we have this genetic structure. It produces something good, but it has some limitations. It really emphasizes the five senses, taste, touch, hearing, sight, smell. It's so loud that we don't realize that hardly anybody except some natural psychics or remote viewers realize, or people who meditate, most people don't even realize that they have a soul. until they die. And the point is that the whole galaxy out there is aware of this composite nature of life. Art, listen, how long are you a professional? I mean, really, you go through most of your life either being young as a child and then going to college and working yourself up. By the time you become 40, you're really active in your career.
Right.
By the time you're 55, you start thinking about backing out.
Right.
By the time you're 60 or 65, you're out of there. You cannot run a galaxy with a professional lifespan of 15 to 20 years. The government of the galaxy is on the other side of existence. It's not on the physical side only. Most of it's on the other side, where you don't die.
Even if you look at the physical, Doctor, have you ever seen a map showing where we are and where the real action is? We're way out in the suburbs. The Earth is in our system is way out. We're really rural. Listen, hold on, Doctor. We're going to come back to you. Professor Courtney Brown is my guest, and there are some real earth-shattering events occurring this morning. So stick with this if you're able. You're listening to the American CBC Radio Network.
You're listening to an encore performance of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
This is the CBC Radio Network.
Well, good morning, everybody. You're not going to know what to make of this. A lot of stations in Canada joining us at this hour. Good morning. I'm going to warn you all, this is somewhat earth-shaking, what we're dealing with this morning. So please brace yourself if you are disturbed by what sounds or appears to be momentous information. You would want to tune out. If there are children around, even at this hour, I would suggest, since they will not absorb it easily and may misinterpret what they hear, that you get them out of the room. My guest is Dr. Courtney Brown, Professor Courtney Brown. And I will endeavor to tell you a little bit more about him in a moment. We received a photograph from an amateur astronomer in Houston, Texas. As a matter of fact, I'll read you the facts very briefly. Urgent, Art, strange object sighted near Hale-Bopp. Art, I have just taken some amazing photographs of Hale-Bopp. They show a Saturn-like object near the comet. This thing, if it's solid and near the comet, would be about four times the size of Earth. I've called Hoagland. He says there have been other calls about this strange thing that just showed up tonight. We have plucked it from Chuck Schremmick's website and put it on ours because of the bandwidth availability. So many people are trying to get it. You may get it. While you're up there, almost as a side note, any other night would be the main event. There are four pictures of what is said to be a chupacabra, courtesy of Strange Universe and a listener. I spoke to Strange Universe earlier in the day. They said they would provide them to me. A listener did during the day. Great minds think alike. And so we've got those up there. You're welcome to look. Also, though, the incredible photo of whatever in the hell it is. You're about to hear, near Hale-Bopp, something really big and something headed this way. Something, Dr. Brown says, is sentient, is alive. Dr. Courtney Brown, professor, is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. He is also president of the Farsight Institute of Scientific Remote Viewing in Atlanta. At Emory, he specializes in nonlinear mathematical modeling of social phenomena, environmental politics, and elections. He's held the Charles Grove Haynes Professorship at UCLA, and was a Hewlett Fellow at the Carter Presidential Center at Emory. Dr. Brown recently published the book Cosmic Voyage, a scientific discovery of extraterrestrials visiting Earth, in which he presents research that was conducted using the U.S. military-derived remote viewing espionage protocols to study the ET phenomenon. He is aware of this object. He targeted earlier last night, hours ago now, this object, and he knows a great deal about it. I'm trying to catch up our Canadian friends. This is not a War of the Worlds broadcast, even though it may sound like it. I'm going to read you in a moment a few faxes we're getting from listeners, and we will be opening lines, so please bear with us. We're trying to get out all the important, relevant information as we can. A lot of you, many of you, are already asking about how to get copies of this program. It will be a five-hour program. You can get it beginning now by calling 1-800-917-4278. You're going to want to request the program In Progress with Dr. Courtney Brown at 1-800-917-4278, beginning right now. All right, now, just to give you a sample, dear Art, this is Mark in Las Vegas. I'm not afraid of the coming events. I'm very happy they're coming. I've been waiting all my life for this to happen. I've been trying to tell people to wake up. Now it is going to happen. Or this, from Mike. Looked at the photographs. Wow! You know, I don't scare easily, but this show is freaking me out. It's not that I personally don't feel ready, but we collectively are not, and that's what scares me, Mike. Or this, from Chris in Los Altos, California. Dear Art, shows like this will put no-dos out of business. One note, however, you continue to question whether the alien vehicle is friend or foe, whether Dr. Brown's sources may be misguided, and the vehicle may indeed be a weapon. Point. What does it matter? What defense would we possibly have against something four times larger than our planet? Or this, Aloha Art from Dean in Kauai. Dr. Brown, raising the consciousness of the general population is a weapon. A weapon which threatens those who would withhold information as a means to control. Or this, Nick in San Diego. Dear Art, I saw the picture of the object next to Hale-Bopp, and it appears to be immense. The descriptions of the object given by the Farsight remote viewers remind me of the probe that approached Earth in Star Trek IV, waiting for a correct response from the inhabitants of Earth, or maybe the movie 2001 and the Monolith, or this. From Mark, Art, it sounds like you and Courtney are doing a play-by-play of our mass introduction to an explained consciousness. This is more exciting than baseball. Or this, Art, please recall that Zachariah Sitchin said he thought Hale-Bopp was a precursor. The new object is probably Nibiru, the 12th planet, enclosed in an artificial sheath partly made of the gold that they came to Earth to mine. Doctor, that's just a sampling of what's coming in like crazy here. What do you think?
Well, it's just a very small sampling of what the whole planet's going to be thinking about in a short amount of time.
May I run this by you, Art? You just misunderstood what Mr. Brown said. He was equating Earth's viewer or viewers with the six-year-old, not the beings aboard the craft or planetoid. Opposite interpretation. Neither of you realize you misunderstood each other. Now, again, from your report, you mentioned something about, I thought, the beings on board were equated to a six-year-old with technology they did not understand. Did I have that wrong?
No, I think, if I recall, with that, I'd have to look it up in that session, but I think I was talking about the people here on Earth being the ones who were like the young ones.
All right.
And not understanding the technology, because the technology was both physical and subspace. It dealt with the realm of the technology of this object deals with the realm of consciousness as well as it deals with the realm of transportation. You have to understand, an object the four times the size of the planet Earth isn't like a sports car that you can just zip in with normal physical energy. You're not talking about a couple rockets pushing it there. The thing was there one day and wasn't there the next. The point is that you're talking about levels of energy that do not that are not limited to the physical realm with relativistic speeds and all the normal stuff. You have to talk about multidimensional energy, which is talking about the subspace as well as the physical.
But this is both, you say. It is indeed a real physical
object. Yes, it's a very complex object. It has both organic and inorganic components in it. It's made of substances that are not very well known to us, and it is so sufficiently advanced and complex that it is actually sentient. It's alive. It's in... It's sentient with respect to its origination point, meaning wherever it came from, the people or whatever it is that were involved with it originally, it's alive and somehow sentient, knowing, at least with respect to them. To us, it may be just a physical object as we're looking at it, but that's our misperception. That's what the first viewer was saying, that the government, when it's looking at this object, is misunderstanding it. It's
I can understand. Well, I understand how they would do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're viewing this object only in the physical, and you see something coming this way, four times the size of our planet, you're damn right it's going to scare you, and you're going to view it ominously.
That is why it's so important for us at the Farsight Institute, and I do not believe that it's by accident, Art, that you were chosen to be on the show when the stuff is understood the first time through. That is why we are here as an educational role, not only myself, not only the other remote viewers at the Farsight Institute, but you, Art. We're here as an educational role to teach people slowly but surely that we're not being invaded, what the nature of our next evolutionary step is all about. We need to teach not just the masses, but the government that's listening to this broadcast. You can be sure that the government officials from all the major agencies are listening to this broadcast. It's been announced on my website, on the Farsight Institute's website, as well as it's been announced on yours. Many, many people from all different agencies and so forth go through our website page by page to look at what's going on. The government is very aware of what's going on, but they have not understood it. And what's the nature of our purpose is to explain. We're supposed to be teachers. I'm a professor. The people here that work with me, many of them, I have PhDs. The point is, we're educators. By trade, we're educators. And you, as a radio broadcaster, is an educator. And what we need to do is really to explain to people in simple understanding the nature of life that's in the rest of the galaxy and why we have to now understand that bootstrapping our understanding of consciousness is more important than any level of technology at the current time. By the way, I'm sitting in front of the second session.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. Doctor, I was in the Air Force, and I know enough about the military to know how the Pentagon, how the intelligence agencies are going to look at this. And I know how you want them to look at it. And I know the educational process you want to foist upon them before it is too late. I fear, though, that they will look at things... The military looks at things from a national security point of view. They look at threat analysis. They look at capability. They look at a lot of things that are very much in the physical. Now that this incredible thing is in the physical, if it proves out, and you say you've talked to a major university and they agree it is there, they're going to look at this very much in the immediate, in the physical, and in the threat mode.
Well, it's so mind-boggling to normal people that just look at it from a 3D perspective that they're going to have to start questioning. But the main ingredient that this is supposed to do is to stop the level of secrecy. I mean, you just can't walk away from an object that's four times the size of the planet Earth.
No, you can't.
The main ingredient that's supposed to happen right now is the end of the secrecy. That is the major problem. Now, if there is a problem with all of these people that you're talking about that are listening to the show, imagine what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day when other media start broadcasting this.
I know.
The point is, it's a problem we brought upon ourselves by allowing our government to dive into the realm of secrecy for the purpose of controlling the masses rather than educating the masses. The best way to control anyone is to teach them.
Doctor, is it possible, now you brought up an interesting point, the rest of the media, because of this broadcast, because of the photographs, there's going to be a lot of sudden attention. Is it possible the other media will either dismiss not report on, you know, lie through omission, in effect, or that the other media will simply not pick up on it? Could that happen?
Well, you know, they can try to do all sorts of things, but it should be obvious at this point that the ETs are forcing our hand. They want us to wake up. They're not invading. If they were invading, they could have conquered us decades ago. We're nothing. We don't even have anything that could... How could we possibly shoot down a ship four times the size of the planet Earth?
That's what a faxer said. Exactly right.
Of course, they're not invading or in any sense. They're trying to wake us up, and they've been doing it very gently. Now, look, if you were even wondering about their intent, just think about it like this. They were even polite enough to wait until after the political process of the American presidential election was completed. The largest democracy and most important democracy government on the planet Earth at this time, they waited until after we resolved our own internal stuff before they did this thing. I mean, they're bending over backward
to
try to be nice.
It's a point. It's a point. They did wait. It's right after the election.
They could. If they came before it, the message would have been, these silly humans having their political process, it doesn't matter. Let's do it anyway. But they waited. That means they have respect for us. That means that they want something from us. They don't want to consume.
Well, they have more respect. They have more respect for our political process than I do.
That could be.
Yeah, Doctor, you've got a second remote viewer. Now, everybody needs to understand these remote viewers are given these targets independently. So what you're going to hear now from this second report was compiled hours ago, independent of the first. So what is in the second report, Doctor?
Yeah, now these remote viewers never talk to each other. They never have any idea. They're in different locations of the country.
I've got you.
They communicate with their monitors, in fact, over speakerphones so that the monitor is listening to the session, but the remote viewer can't even look at the eyes of the monitor, so nothing is given away. And we are absolutely rigid with all of our controls. No hints at all. They're using just the mechanical procedures of scientific remote viewing to get this information.
All right.
Well, this viewer, I'm skipping over a lot. In fact, I'm jumping over past page 12. This viewer started to perceive that it was some type of a climate-controlled space capsule. The idea of machinery was involved. He picked up a lot of other things, but I'm going to...
So he got that, too, machinery involved.
Oh, yeah. I'm skipping over a lot of the overlapping stuff because it was tremendously overlapping. But
because that is, to me, what will verify what we heard just a couple hours ago.
Okay, well, let's go with it then. This guy is immediately saying that... that this is extraordinarily important. There's tremendous longevity involved in this thing. And it's something like the obelisk from 2001, A Space Odyssey. Okay, next page.
I guess what we can imagine can be, huh?
Yeah, this is tremendous corroboration. This person wasn't... I could have sent them to the Eiffel Tower. They didn't know what this is, but it's tremendous. I mean, these people, this is what we do. At the Farsight Institute, this is what we do.
I understand.
And then the person perceived emotions related to this thing of concern and worry. And the other thoughts that are associated with it is, will it work?
Emotions, concern, and worry on whose part?
He's picking up a combination of stuff on humans as well as the beings that are involved with the device.
That sounds logical.
Yeah. Now, this device is so humongous, it might be, who really knows exactly what it's composed of, but we have, some of our viewers says it's composed, it has hallways in it, it's composed of both rock and inorganic material, so it might have been a transformed planet that's been transformed into a ship. I mean, we're dealing with technologies that are spectacular. All right, now the question is, the viewer then perceives the concepts of, will it work? Somebody's wondering about, will this work?
Meaning, will we get the message, I suppose.
Exactly.
Doctor, we're at the bottom of the hour, so we will continue with the second report, corroborating the first when we get back. Stay right where you are. Dr. Courtney Brown, professor, is my guest. I'm Art Bell, and this is CBC. We're going to break at the bottom of the hour and be right back. You might want to wake your friends up, tell them what's going on. Stay right where you are.
If it's bad, don't let it get.
From the Kingdom of Nye, more Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Here again is Art.
Well, you know, I guess I would observe at this moment, and I'm about to get out of the good doctor's way and just let him tell us what's in the second report, but I would observe, from a talk show host point of view, that whether or not what we're hearing tonight turns out to be as we imagine it may be, it is a momentous event indeed. We are going to, as a result of what we have done already, we're going to get an opportunity to observe a very interesting collective human reaction to this information, and perhaps the most interesting observation since the War of the Worlds. And this is sort of a separate observation of a talk show host who is interested in the way the public reacts to this sort of thing. So no matter what happens, there is enough information out there right now that it's going to be an interesting study. Dr. Brown?
Yes, Art.
All right. If you would, please, you've got a second remote viewer who independently looked at all this. Continue with that report.
Yeah, and you won't believe what the third remote viewer says as well. It's very interesting.
All right, go ahead.
So the second remote viewer is on target. By the way, he's also an extremely good remote viewer. All of these remote viewers, in fact, meditate. They've gone the whole ball of wax with regard to all of our recommendations. He's picking up the concept of will it work. There is concern and worry, as I mentioned. He's picking up the emotions of people here on Earth. But also he's picking up the concept of will it work, and this is with regard to the beings that actually did this object. What might it do? The results are actually unknown. I suspect what's happening here is an attempt is being made to change the timeline. Apparently what we were on is a timeline that was not very good. And I suspect what we're picking up here, because we're getting this with other data that we're getting elsewhere, that the ETs are also helping us change the timeline from an unproductive to a more productive timeline. Anyway, then he says in the concepts column, this is a test, an experiment, a test experiment. He then does a locational movement exercise directly to the target object and describes it. He says it's important, it's central, it's new, and it is big. He's picking up the silvery color, and he says the target object has no emotions, which is interesting because he's already beginning to perceive that emotions are somehow relevant to it. It's somehow alive, but it has no emotions as we would understand.
A sentient object without emotions?
Well, yeah, actually, emotions are just something superficial on our electrochemical mind. You know, it has no emotions of the sense that we would have it, but it has feelings, apparently. But it doesn't have, just like an extraordinarily advanced, you can imagine, if this thing is actually a complex technological organism, if the thing is actually so complicated as to be that big, it's got to be somewhat, you know, it's got to have been produced by a race that's so advanced that it probably has some level of self-awareness. Anyway, then he goes on, describing the object. It is hard, it's technological, it's complex. It has multiple parts. All or most are needed to function. It's involved with learning and reading. Now, he's not talking about reading the language like English language. He's talking about reading something else, much more deep than that. It's getting progressively more important, he picks it up. And then he says, get this, the target object's growing in the target object's significance. He's picking up as it's getting closer and closer to us, it's getting more and more important as it's getting more and more significant. And then he says that it's involved with the concept of discovery, like uncovering secrets. Then he says the target, then he accuses on the target object's activity. And he says it's moving, it's traveling in a planned way. It's watching and being watched. It's involved again with discovery. And it's providing more pieces to the puzzle. New and old information. It's a new historical discovery. Now, the remote viewer doesn't understand all of this. He's just picking up this information and putting it down. It's both a new and historical discovery. And it's somehow scan. Oh, and he's also picking up the idea of scanning and taking pictures. This might be of it and perhaps by it as well. Now, he cues on the target object's purpose. And he finds that, this is in the Matrix again, uncovering that which has been hidden or lost. See how close this is to the other viewer? uncovering that which has been hidden or lost, the process of discovery, fulfilling our destiny. It will provide radical information to help ease us through the coming transition. The target object has broad support from both the physical and subspace realms. It will accomplish, the target object will accomplish the target object's mission. This time, it will not be stopped. There will be no interference. The target object has unilateral support in the sense that it's welcome on some level. That may not be by, it may not be by all the humans that are thinking of it, but after they, but at least by all the, by whoever it is, the large collective out there in the galaxy got their full support, apparently. All right, now, going on, the target object's information will help bring about a new era for humanity. It will help heal the schisms, or something like that, created by the upcoming events with the target object's information. Oh, wow. And then it goes on. Then he goes on. The cueing again on the target object, he found again it's important, and it contains and provides a wealth of information. The object is both man-made, in the sense of being artificial, planned. It's purposeful. It's both historical, necessary, and new. It's a combination of old and new combined. The target object... it's like the object helps bring about something new. The viewer is still trying to figure out what this is going on, so he's just putting it down. It's like the object is trying to bring about something new. The object itself doesn't necessarily feel new. Isn't that great?
The object itself doesn't feel new.
No, meaning the object, the viewer correctly perceived that the target object, this object out in space, is not a brand new object. It's an old thing. But it's trying to bring about something new. It's an old device that's been around a long time.
Well, it'll do that, all right.
Yeah, and it's trying to cause something new here. Now, it's involved with some change, some new information. The new paradigm being formed, incorporating the best of the old one with the new. Okay. My goodness. This is a specialized procedure. I realize he's done, and what he did is it's a specialized scientific remote viewing procedure where he went after, in a special symbolic type of way, it's a technical procedure where he went after the object, not the object, but the destination point, the place, the people that it's targeted for.
May I ask you again, the people need to understand the significance of the independent data they're hearing. This is the second remote viewer who was given a target, only a number, and is returning information, corroborating what the first viewer said, corroborating what we've got photographic evidence of, headed our way. People need to understand what they're hearing right now. This is independently gathered information.
With absolutely no leading cues, done under the strictest of laboratory controls.
Nobody said you're trying to target an object accompanying Hale-Bopp that we've got a photograph of. Nothing like that.
We never do that. We only do blind sessions because those are the ones that it's easier to do a blind session for that matter.
Right.
We follow our procedures work. We got the bugs worked out of this. And if people want to know more about it, two sources. Go to my book, Cosmic Voyage, A Scientific Discovery of Extraterrestrials Visiting Earth. It's Dutton Press. That's a division of Penguin, and also the website, www.farsight.org, we explain everything about remote viewing there. We have classes at the Farsight Institute in Atlanta with the whole thing. But the information we get from our students and from our professionals, we don't sell. We give it away, and it's up on our website.
Well,
it's
you're
one of
doing
the most
that right now.
Websites.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is... You know, information from the spirit is a gift, and we give it back. All right, now the viewer then goes into the target of the object, meaning what the object is trying to do, who it's trying to get at, what the people that it's trying to get at, and he says, This target object has its focal point on human beings, humans, people.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to create a new understanding necessary for future growth, a new paradigm arising, and somebody, he's picking up, somebody is very pleased. Some people seem to be very happy, pleased with what the target object is or represents. Mm-hmm. Now, that does not necessarily mean humans. It could mean the Galactic Federation out there, the group that's involved in this. But it could also mean many humans as well. It's not specified here. Now, he does a deep mind probe of the target people, meaning the target that the target people are the people that the object is going towards. And he picks up mixed emotions, some happy, some confused, some focused. People are struggling to wake up to something new, trying to incorporate new information into the preset patterns of their lives. Gosh. And then he moves on to the most significant people and describes those. And he finds groups, families, a big group.
Doctor, might I stop you now before we lose some affiliates at the top of the hour? This information gathered independently by these various remote viewers, will you condense it into a report and have it on your website? And if so, when?
Well, we're giving this all, our webmaster, who's really a superb webmaster, she's got the information already. And she's going to be working on it tomorrow and the next day. And we're going to try to get it up tomorrow. If we can't get it all up tomorrow, it'll be up by the next day.
All right.
But, you know, gifts of the Spirit we give back free. So if you don't have a computer, if you're a listener and you don't have a computer, you have a neighbor who has a kid who has a computer.
Find somebody. Yeah. Go to a library.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyway. So,
all right, I'll see to it that your link is left up on my page. Thank you, Keith. Go ahead, Doctor.
All right. Now, the people, the target people, some of them are pleased, some of them are concerned. The people, I see now. He's picking up different people associated with this. Some of these people are different from the current Earth human, and they somehow seem distant. Some flavor is coming across as somewhat primitive, some honoring or reverence. Now, he may be picking up through the previous session and the current session, there was something about Mars that I wasn't talking about, but there's a lot about Mars in here, and he may be picking up something related to that. That'll have to come out in the analysis.
As you know, we have just launched a probe toward Mars.
Oh, yeah, and we will find out very soon. Mars is not a dead planet. The beings that still are survivors of that ancient civilization, they would like it to be a dead planet. They'd like to get off there. They will be getting off there. But that's one of the great transitions that's coming to us in the coming months. Anyway, then the viewer goes on to say that it seems that the target object itself, meaning the big object in the sky, seems to represent a new beginning, even though some view it as the end. Wow, this is fun. It's advanced, and it's helping, and it's necessary. And it's relevant now also. And the origination... Now, look at this. I saw this before, and I was just... My jaw dropped when I saw this. The viewer said... the viewer cued on the origination point of this object.
Mm.
And the viewer said, it's closer than you think.
The point of origination?
Yeah, the origination point. It's closer than you think. It's distant, but also closer. It seems to be from far away... but not so distant as that normally applies, that normally seems. Not from here, but of here. From space, but also from Earth. The USA seems to be involved. Now, Art, to make an understanding of this, what this is talking about is that object is both a physical and a subspace object combined.
Mm-hmm.
Just as we are. It's composite in its nature, just as we humans are composite in our nature. It may be the size of a planet, but it's an object. It may actually be, you know, related to what was a normal planet, but now it's a vehicle.
Doctor, may I ask you this? It appeared suddenly, last night, that fast. Might it disappear as suddenly?
Well,
or is it going to keep coming?
You know, you know, one of the things I have to say is that I really have to be very strict with telling you only what I only what our data show.
Fair enough.
And we don't have that information. I would like to tell you what I think it's going to do, but I don't really know what it's going to do. The information that we have is enough for what we have, and anything more that I would add to it in terms of speculation only detracts from what we do know.
Okay.
And I don't know what it's going to
do. Well, I had to ask.
Yeah, it's a great question. I personally am interested in the answer myself. Is it time for me to get into the third viewer? Because they
well,
have
no, we'll do that after the top of the hour break. You have given us so much information this morning. You study social phenomena. You look at politics. That's part of what you do.
That's my specialty.
As a professor, it's your specialty. Doctor, are we ready for this? Now, I don't mean, is Professor Brown ready for it?
Right, right, right.
I mean, are we ready for it?
Now, Art, one of the reasons you asked me on this show today for the third time was not because of the Hale-Bopp thing, but when you asked me to come on the show again, you wanted to know, wanted me to talk about the announcements that
the
Farsight Institute
right,
had already done. Now,
right.
The reason is, some of the data that we had already put up on the website even 2 weeks ago was the following. Something has happened out there in the celestial realm. Something has happened up there that we do not understand, and that we have not figured it out. We've not got it yet from our remote viewing, but we do know this much. Something's changed up there, and that humans, for whatever it's worth, are not yet completely ready for this coming transition. And the ETs have had to rush it. They would like to keep us in the daycare camp for another 40 years, perhaps. But for some reason that's a little bit out of their control, and I get the sense that they're trying to change the timeline because the current timeline was not favorable. Bad things happened. And they're trying to change it so it becomes more favorable, but when you change the timeline, the future becomes probabilistic and it becomes unclear what you're going to do. And I have the suspicion that, we've clearly got the idea from our remote viewing data that the humans are not really totally ready for the coming transition, but that it had to come. Mm-hmm. Things got a little bit out of control, a little bit too fast. Things had to change. But it was a catch-22. They didn't want us, the ETs didn't want us to continue on the current timeline because the current timeline was bad.
Something was wrong.
Something was wrong, and that they needed to move up the transition time. And so what we need to do is, we are absolutely certain that we can get through this as a species. The remote viewers here at the Farsight Institute do not see Holocaust as a result.
Mm-hmm.
We see a difficult time, a transition time. We see the need for our political leadership, President Clinton, others, to be brave and to acknowledge not only that we are not alone in this universe, galaxy, or even most surprisingly, our own solar system, but to acknowledge openly that there is now open evidence, scientific evidence, that we are more than physical beings.
Doctor, hold it right there. We'll be right back to you after the top of the hour in some markets. This is a five-hour program. If you would like a copy of it, I'm going to give you the number now. 24 hours a day, you can call this number. You're going to want the five-hour program with Dr. Courtney Brown. The number is 1-800-917-4278. Again, 1-800-917-4278. I'm Art Bell, and this is the American CBC Radio Network.
You're listening to an encore performance of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. This program is aired live Monday through Friday from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the Pacific time zone and 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. in the Eastern. Art Bell's Dreamland can be heard live Sunday nights, 7 to 10 in the Pacific time zone and 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. in the Eastern. Please contact your local radio listings to confirm the exact times Art Bell airs live in your area. And now, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
This is the CBC Radio Network.
It certainly is. Want to please a woman? Well, we've got the way. It's absolutely fresh flowers. By the way, just before I get into that, before I get into that, let me tell you, there is now a second photograph on the website, perhaps even more startling. I just got a call from Keith, my webmaster, And he says that they've now got a second photograph, one which shows the object more close up, one that obviously shows it to be even brighter than Hale-Bopp. Repeat, even brighter than Hale-Bopp. So if you want to look, if you want to look at this object just found tonight, thought to be adjacent to or with Hale-Bopp, but brighter than, and obviously if you're listening to Dr. Brown, not your average rock. Take a look. My webpage is burdened at the moment trying to handle all the traffic. But you're welcome to take a look. It's www.artbell.com. www.artbell.com. I feel a little like I've been hit by a sledgehammer this morning. This has been some program to try to get through. Doctor, as we're going to get started with the third remote viewer report in a moment, but a couple of items. Somebody you don't mention, another remote viewer, Ed Dames, who's been on my program last time, did come on and spent a great deal of time saying that his remote viewers have seen something very profound, something that was going to happen to every individual on the planet simultaneously soon. Within the next 3.5 years. And I'm reminded of that by Jeannie in St. Louis, and she's exactly right. That's one item. The other is this fax. I believe there will be many, many people, Art, who choose to believe this is the coming of the Antichrist. Your comments are needed. Well, I don't have comments because I have no idea what it is other than with respect to what you've been telling us it is, Doctor. And there are going to be many people. And I've got hundreds of faxes this morning. My machine is probably about to blow up.
Uh-huh.
And people are reacting in a range from hope and wonderment to fear and anger at you or at me for even broadcasting all of this. And they don't know what to think. People are a little lost out there, and the range of reaction is as I said. So what would you say to these people? Be cautious, listen, be calm, don't be afraid. What?
Most importantly, more than anything else, is to understand the good news that's associated with this. The good news is that our time of ignorance, the time of darkness, that's what this age will be remembered as. It's coming to a close. We should never be afraid of being able to see. We should never be afraid of having the lights turn on and to find out what arena we live in. What we have lived through was the hard times. What we are entering is the time of greatness. We are actually beginning to see the point where we can actually envision our human destiny. We're not a species that's going to be sloughed off and left in the galactic backwater. We have a purpose, a future. But in order to achieve our future, we cannot stay locked up in our past. We cannot stay with our heads buried in the sand. And our ET friends, our extraterrestrial friends, as traumatic as this experience may be, they are acting like midwives to get us out of the birth canal and finally let us open our eyes so that we can see and participate in the robust galaxy of life the way they want, the way they have been doing. They are helping. Not hurting. All transitions are painful. But this transition, like any birth, leads to life. Leads to life itself. Now, Art, I want to say one thing. About what you may get with other remote viewers or other people who are saying they're doing remote viewing or whatever they're doing, the problem is that I can't comment on what other people are saying because I've not seen those data.
No, but it seems to say very much like what you're saying without the detail.
Well, that's the whole point. There has to be data that you have to see. We put up everything on our website. People can draw their own conclusions about all of this stuff. I admit we've got backlogs, about 6 feet tall stack of paper of backlogs is trying to get up, but the point is everything as fast as we can, we put it up. And so if other people have things that they're doing, it's best that they speak for themselves.
I understand. No, I understand.
But now, Art, I want to say one thing. This is fun, isn't it? To be able, see how valuable remote viewing is? you are now able, before any radar stuff comes back, before any interplanetary probes can go out there and see what's going on,
yes.
we are now able within a few hours to come back with complete descriptive information of what's going on out there. You see how valuable this technology is? Secondly, it's very important before, right before, moments before I get to the third viewer, which has information, a lot of the physical nature of the thing, it's very important to understand the vision thing, where we are headed. Where is the Farsight Institute headed? Look, right now we have rented offices in one of the Holiday Inns here in Atlanta. We're very good. We've got stuff. We've got staff. We've got 9 full teachers, fully professionalized. We've got a director of instruction, myself. We've mm-hmm. we've got full-time secretarial staff, the whole thing. We're up and going in a place. But that's not the vision.
I understand. It's a serious operation.
The vision is within a few months we'll have a building. Within a few months, we'll have right now we have one webmaster, a great one, but she will be running a department for planetary education in a few months. If you can imagine what your listeners are actually going through, imagine what the whole planet, the informational need that the whole planet will have. We are going to have a building. We are just now completing our nonprofit status. We are going to have a building as an educational institute. We are not only going to be with about 150 rooms for people that will be learning in multiple classes, all the most advanced procedures for remote viewing, including the medical procedures, technology transfer, the whole thing, but also we are going to have a Department of Planetary Education where we're going to be putting things up on the web, other sources to give people information about all of this so that the need can be satisfied.
Yes, sir.
If we're going to transform the planet, as an institute, we have the vision that we have to be transformed as well. Right now, we're the biggest remote viewing place ever. But the point is, it's minuscule to what must be happen in the future. And in the very near future, we can't wait for 10 years for this thing to occur. The Farsight Institute will have a facility, a place. It'll be a nonprofit, professional remote viewing institute that'll be serving a planetary educational purpose. And that is the vision. So never think that what we're currently doing now, as impressive and as interesting as it is on the web and other places, it's just the beginning of what's to come.
All right.
Now, let's want to get on to that next.
I certainly do, because I want to take some calls in the last half hour. I really, okay. really do. So let's get on with it.
All right. Now, this last viewer is fascinating. He immediately perceived that this thing has something to do like a spaceship. And then he has a picture, which you'll see on the website as soon as we can get it up. Fascinating. A big structure. And he's actually got an idea of a being, or some chairs and a being actually inside the structure. And outside of the structure is this dotted globular thing that is most definitely the comet starting to break up. Fascinating. He's got a great picture. These pictures are wonderful. They say 1,000 words.
Doctor, the comet starting to break up?
Yeah, well, and whenever you see a large corona like that,
yeah.
that's parts of the comet breaking up.
All right, but
all comets break up. That's
right, of course. Comets outgas. But when you use the term break up, it has a connotation of being more than outgassing.
Well, they have actually been noticing that the comet is actually, pieces of it are coming off. And it is premature that the pieces are coming off. It shouldn't happen until it gets closer to the sun. So maybe this object that's out there is knocking some things off of it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm just speculating.
Well, one thing this object is not is a piece of that comet, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's not a piece of the comet. It's actually emitting light. It's not reflecting light. And it's very bright. And the light, as we mentioned earlier in the show, is completely uniform.
Doctor, how can it be, when you say it is emitting light, not reflecting light?
It's like the sun, or it's like a light bulb.
Okay.
A normal planet or asteroid or a comet simply reflects sunlight. But this object that we're looking at is a light-emitting source, meaning it is giving its own light.
All right.
Okay, now the viewer immediately figured out that this thing, whatever this target was, and remember he was just given a number that he knew nothing about what that number meant. And when he did the remote viewing technology, the remote viewing procedures on that number, he immediately figured out that this was both, that the thing was both fast and spurting. Interesting, because all of the stuff's a comet coming out. And it was funnel-shaped, spread out, and billowing. It's great. All right. He also figured out in the emotions column of the matrix, He had emotions of dread, concentration, fear, and then the physical sky, beings and buildings, people looking up, feeling fearful, things like that. And there's not some other type of thing of trying to push through. And then in the concepts column, he has, this thing has to do with education. Something dealing with destruction, but not physical destruction. And the concept of political and construction was coming through. Like a building site having to knock something down first before you put up a new building. So he's not talking about a physical thing. He's talking about interpretation as an analyst, I would say. He's talking about the destruction of one paradigm and bringing up of others, of another. Anyway, in the emotions, he's picking up things of frantic and caution. Mm-hmm. He is picking up a structure. It's technological. And he says it's really big. And it's outdoors. Of course, in the beginning, he doesn't know where this thing was, so he doesn't know if it's... But he did figure out that it's not inside a building. Like, it's not a small thing. It's outdoors. And it's connected with something like bridging a gap. And he says, like a school. And then he says, it's a vehicle. This is great.
It is. It's remarkable. It's astounding.
Yeah. And, okay, as it's going on, he's picking up that it's both hollow, cylindrical, and large. That's great. And he has a wonderful picture of it. It's like a tornado type of a thing. But he has a good picture of it. Anyway, there's intense concentration at the site, at the target site. It's a very big structure. The structure is involved with communication.
Here we go again.
Yeah, same thing. There are people looking up, feeling a concept of danger.
Mm.
There is something metallic at it. Then he's getting emotions of strained. People are feeling strained. It's a massive tower type of thing. It's something really large, he says.
That would be me feeling strained.
Yeah. And he's deducting something like a blimp. That means a deduction is not meaning he's describing. He's not saying it's a blimp. He's just saying it gives him the same type of a mental flavor like a blimp, something huge.
Hmm.
It's reinforced. I can't get that word. I'll have to call him up and find out what that is. Some technology, and it's dealing with stars, and it's bunker-like, and it's radiation.
Bunker-like.
Yeah, it's bunker-like. This is just a perception that he had.
Doctor, if you would, stay close to your phone, please.
Oh, yeah, this is just a perception that he had. I'm sorry, Art.
That's quite all right. I understand. You're reading this report,
yeah,
and you're sort
exactly
of trying
right.
to interpret as you go here.
He has another picture, and again, he's deducting it's a vehicle. Something like a building. It's dome-like.
Dome-like.
And it's involved in the concept of traveling, communication.
Mm-hmm.
Also, this concept of reverence is coming back again. Some
reverence.
Type of respect. It's technology, but it's combined with thoughts. It's technology and thoughts together.
Well, I have reverence for any ship four times the size of Earth. That's reverence. I have reverence for that.
Okay. All right. Now he's moved to the significant people and describe. He's describing them as some significant people. And this looks like he's talking about the Earth. It's a homogeneous scientific experimentation, monitoring, watching, guiding, setting something rolling, getting something started. It's a catalyst, almost a scholarly project. Okay, moving to the target object and then describing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's at times it emits energy. It's hard and smooth and rounded. It's metallic, but also stone and upright. That would make sense, given the fact that it's so large. You never know what materials it actually made. It's actually made of. Then he has a spectacular picture of this thing that has a tail behind it. Probably, well, certainly the comet. And this triangular type of thing that looks like it has wings on either side. It's like right out of the photo.
Oh, that's odd.
It's great.
Are you going to get some of these photographs? Excuse me, not photographs. Drawings.
Oh,
up?
Yes. Okay. They'll be up on the web.
All right.
Interesting. At times, it seems homogeneous, and at times it seems like it's dealing with revelation, study, projection, and time. There are hallways inside of the thing. Its purpose is both ancient. It has a purpose that somehow connects to religious study.
Figures.
And then, again, I can only describe the pictures. The pictures are really great, but they'll be up on the website. The significant people that are associated with this object are teachers, planners, and the target object is involved with education. It's like a time capsule involved with discovery. This is the same word that the other viewers used. Timing and evolution. It is a very old artifact with technology that's hidden. That's the end of that session.
Yikes.
I mean, it's much better than a radar device. This remote viewing is really wonderful. I mean, imagine, when we just heard about it a few hours ago, and we get all this information about it. Never underestimate the value of the human instrument, both the being, not just the body, but the body and the soul combined. As much as I've done this remote viewing for years now, I mean, I started this thing way back in 1992, it never ceases to excite me, every single moment of it. It's not just the remote viewing, but the demonstration that it gives of the value of evolutionary growth.
Well, it is astounding, all right, Doctor. Absolutely astounding. What I want to do is take some calls from people in the audience.
Okay.
We'll do that after the bottom of the hour. Are you up for that?
Oh, of course, Art.
All right, Doctor. Stay right where you are.
It's my middle name.
All right. It's time to get a little reaction. Again, to order copies of this program when you're able to get through, it's 1-800-917-4278. And we will be right back.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful.
Now, from the Kingdom of Nye, more Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Here again is Art.
All right, here is an important question. Doctor, how can you be 100% sure that you're not receiving back what they, in quotes, want you and your team to receive in terms of a massive deception? How do you know this could not be a Trojan horse?
Well, there's no absolute guarantee of. The reason being is this is a relatively new science, and I have to say that we use the exact same procedures for remote viewing this object as we do for remote viewing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So if there were going to be deceivers, they would have to be very good at disguising mental imagery, mental signals, to be exactly like the ones we use for the completely verifiable targets. And you have to understand that much of these sessions that we've just described to you are verifiable. We are describing an object in the skies that is visible by a telescope, and these people are describing that same thing right next to a comet. So the point is that this is there's a lot of verifiable stuff already in this. But if you're dealing with a level of technology that you're dealing with an object the size of four times the planet Earth that is both technological and sentient, then we have to understand that we're probably dealing in a realm that's beyond us. However, all the evidence seems to suggest that we're not up against any type of hostile species that would be interested in that type of deception. All the evidence suggests that they're much more interested in education.
Well,
if they wanted to conquer us or manipulate us, they wouldn't need the far-sight remote viewers.
Well, I hope you're right.
I want to say one more thing, Art.
Yes.
Many people who don't have a computer might want to find out more about us. So if I could give two fax numbers.
Absolutely, yes.
The two fax numbers, in case one gets busy, you can try the other. They go to our main offices, is 404-874-3004. first one. And the second one is 404-636-5148. Either one will get to us. It's both our office faxes. And if you fax something to us, we can send you a brochure out relating to our courses and so on.
On the first-time caller line, here we go. You're on the air with Dr. Courtney Brown. Where are you, please?
I'm in Eugene, Oregon.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I'm blown away.
I know. Me too.
Mr. Brown, you're...
That's Dr. Brown.
I'm sorry, Dr. Brown.
You can even call me Courtney. Some of my students at Emory call me things with four-letter words depending on what grade they get.
Okay. All right. Courtney, on your September 12th interview with Art Bell, you described God as this being that had exploded himself.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that definitely changed my views. It's like, is this a new religion coming up?
What
are we going to call it? Are you going to be our God or what?
No. I am nobody, you know? But I'm the same as you. I'm just a person that happened to learn how to do remote viewing, and that target had actually been given to many other people as well and get the same type of a concept of exploding from a center source. But I am no prophet. I am no God. I am no cult leader. I am just a social scientist that happens to also run a remote viewing institute, manage a remote viewing institute. That's it. Now, when I described what the thing about God was, it was just a target that was given to me under totally blind conditions. And the concept was of a single sentient being that was evolving, not static, and it got to a level of complexity where the being experienced basically an infinity of loneliness and got to some threshold point where it created, it fragmented itself, and in a sense like exploded, but it fragmented itself into many small parts, and each one of those parts started to evolve simultaneously like it's the single being of long ago, because they were literally of the same matter. And these beings, these fragments, you might call them God fragments, started to evolve and in the same nature of the original being until they finally became sentient and aware of themselves. And that was my interpretation of that remote viewing experience. And my interpretation is that these fragments eventually, when they become sentient and aware of themselves, have names like your name,
right,
and Art's names and other people's. And we're literally God looking at each other. We ourselves are literally God looking at himself, experiencing life through us. Literally fragments, chips off the old block. That was just a remote viewing experience. I'm not delivering any religion or prophecy. I was just describing what happened in the experience under totally blind laboratory conditions. There is nothing in any spiritual text or belief or anything that prohibits the bringing in of spirituality into the realm of a laboratory.
Right.
There's nothing that prohibits us from asking, what is the physics of spirituality? And this was one experience that perhaps related to that level.
Well, I had never been religious, and once I heard you explain that to me, I was flooded with so many emotions.
For 24 hours. It hit me the same way.
Yeah,
you know, I laughed, I cried, I sat out in the rain and just...
You know, it's interesting that I had never heard of that before when I had that experience, when that remote viewing experience. And afterwards, when the book came out, people came to me and said, Courtney, do you know that that's exactly what's described in many of the most ancient religious texts, like many of the Vedic traditions describe exactly that in Sanskrit of the creation process. And I had never heard of that before, but it
was a very elegant description of the creation process. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Courtney Brown. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Yes, thank you both of you. I wanted to talk about the consciousness aspect of this subject. I think that at the core of our having a hard time dealing with this subject, the subject of our universal brotherhood, is our most abstruse philosophical sciences, our metaphysical paradigm. I was wondering, though, if in listening to this, I hear a lot of the themes, some of the same themes that I came across in reading some of the writings of a woman in the 1800s, Mary Baker Eddy. And I was wondering if you were familiar with any of her ontological and epistemological writings.
Actually, I am, but not well enough to comment on them in the show.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Courtney Brown. Hi.
Yes, Dr. Brown. Very Hello. Wonderful program. I'm completely overwhelmed by such wonderful news about this object appearing by the comet.
Mm-hmm.
For the past several years, I've been working with the crop circles.
Yes.
And I had pretty much deciphered their meaning.
Yes.
And what I found was a connection between the scientific and the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
The lines connect exactly.
Yeah.
And this object was here 13,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And through the crop circles, it explains the event that happened to Mars,
mm-hmm.
the event that happened to Venus,
mm-hmm.
and a small planet that orbited near Venus between
yeah.
Venus and Mercury.
Actually, I'd like to comment that this is a very great question. Just recently, we put up a whole study up on our website at www.farsight.org.
Yeah.
We put up a whole study on the crop circles.
Oh,
there's
did
five,
you?
Yeah, there's five. I believe there's five remote viewing sessions done by professionals,
yeah.
not trainees, but professionals on the crop circles, and all of this same type of information came out under completely controlled laboratory blind conditions.
Hmm. Well, I was able to connect it with spiritual teachings here
mm-hmm.
that have been around for thousands of years. And mm-hmm. also you mentioned the these people in, like, Southern America?
Yes.
Around Brazil?
Yes, well, south of our border.
Yeah. There's a small tribe down there who believes that their god, back when the two gods fought up in the skies of the heavens, that they were put there for safety, that one day their god would return for them.
Mm-hmm.
And
where are they?
It's going to be very interesting.
Do you know where they are?
I might have it on a videotape.
I see.
This tribe, all right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Courtney Brown. Hi.
Hi. I have actually two questions. If I were to look in a telescope, where would the object be?
All right, I'm not an astronomer.
No, in fact, you'd have to ask the astronomer that was here earlier how to do that.
Oh,
I don't know that either.
Okay, and also I heard something about a photon belt. Would this, you know, if anything this here might be related with that?
Related to the photon belt?
We have just started to remote view this concept called the photon belt, and we don't have enough to go on at this point to say much about that.
All right, first-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Courtney Brown. Hi.
Hello, Art. My name is Dennis. I'm calling you from Captain Cook, Hawaii.
Hi, Dennis.
Dr. Brown, I read your book several months ago, not long after it came out, and I was struck by a passage in it where you claim to have viewed midway creatures, which are mentioned in the Urantia book.
Yes.
Also in the Urantia book, it's mentioned about architectural worlds, made-to-order worlds. And I'm wondering if any of your viewers have looked at this, say, Hale Bob object with the determination whether or not it's a made-to-order type of planet.
Hmm.
Well, it's certainly large enough to be that. But honestly, we the only sessions we have are these three sessions, which I've discussed on the program already. This is the first time we ever targeted Hale Bob.
Which are virtually only hours old.
Yeah.
Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Courtney Brown. Hi.
Hi, this is Ron in Bartlesville, Oklahoma.
Hi, Ron.
I'm not a religious person myself, but I think it would be interesting if you could get a fundamentalist Christian minister on as a guest to find out what's going to happen if this is true. I think you have concerns about it yourself.
I do.
I occasionally sit in the backyard with my dog and listen to a portable shortwave radio, and every once in a while I tune in to some of the religious stations, and just recently I heard them talking on, I believe this was a minister out of Texas somewhere, and he was saying something about people coming in a ship, promising everlasting life, and it was, you know, of course, the work of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist would recognize them. And
you can be sure there will be that view of this event.
Yeah, well, but let's not be too culturally bound and think that only evangelical Christians would be associated with it. Remember, many parts of the world have other religions that would be similarly affected by it. For example, Islam. Think about Islam. You know, radical Islam is out there with in Iran and other places. And, you know, remember the experiences of Salman Rushdie. It's, you know, these people sometimes get very upset when facts change around them with regard to some of their opinions. And there are other religions as well that Catholicism will have to go through quite a big change as well. And basically all the major religions, there is something probably true in virtually all of the religions, but so many will have to adapt to the new realities as religions have adapted throughout the centuries.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Courtney Brown. Where are you, please?
Near St. Louis.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
First-time callers, area 702-727-1222.
Uh-huh.
All right, ma'am, you're not allowed to give your last name on the air.
Oh, no, I didn't give it. I said I'm from near St. Louis.
Uh-huh. And what is your first name?
Elnora.
Oh, Elnora. All right, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Okay. I've been listening to you for quite a while. I listen to Art Bell quite, you know, a lot at night.
Uh-huh.
And I never know what station I'm on or that because I just switch around in the dark.
Uh-huh.
And I had this on shortwave about, it might be 4 months ago or even six.
Uh-huh.
And this man said that they are making ETs in Russia, which is extraterrestrials. Uh-huh. And, well, see, it's all of us, up to us, you and I and Art and all of us. We have to make up our own mind about this. Now, this is my thought on the whole thing. The only thing this could be is like the One World Order thing. And what they say is that we're going to be taken over by fear. That has been said from day one.
Well, ma'am, I don't think it would be the One World Order. It might produce one as a result. It's hard to say how humanity is going to react to this if it's what it appears to be. And I don't even know that. I'm just a talk show host. But, Doctor, it could result in some sort of singularity of reaction.
Most likely we're always going to be as varied as we've always been. We've always had different opinions and different cultures, and other people in other places are probably the same. But that certainly we're going to have some type of a human response.
Yes.
That will be cross-cutting all ethnicities and nationalities and languages. And with luck, with a little bit of education thrown in, that human response can be a positive one with the new changes that are involved. Remember, we have the rest of the galaxy to help us along. We're not out there by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Professor Courtney Brown. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, where are you?
In Tacoma, Washington.
Okay.
I was wondering about... you know, he was talking about it might be changing the timeline and all that. And I was wondering if he thought it could be, I've been hearing some speculation about Hale-Bopp maybe hitting us. And I was wondering if he thought maybe it would move Hale-Bopp so that it wouldn't hit us.
All right.
Well, the only, I can only go by what I've heard from the astronomy folks. And on the website of the astronomer that was on the show earlier that actually took the photographs, he mentions that that the comet is not headed towards us, and that the closest it'll ever get is the same distance as we are from the sun.
Given its present trajectory.
Given its present trajectory, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This other object, however, we don't know a damn thing about its trajectory, do we?
No, and apparently it moves.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Professor Courtney Brown. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
It's absolutely fascinating. I'm just glad to get on the air with you.
Where are you?
I'm in Las Vegas.
Okay, we don't have a lot of time, so go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just was observing or listening to some of what Dr. Courtney Brown was saying, and I was intrigued. A lot of it seems like a possibility. Could, you know, some of it could come true. But what I would like to say is that it's pretty obvious that the aliens have already been here. They haven't and aren't going to take over our show, if anything. They're already here. And there is danger involved with them, and I completely disagree with the doctor saying that there isn't danger involved with ETs and or the Hale-Bopp episode, which is very skeptical in my mind that it's even going to happen.
Okay, Art, I would like to say something, that this caller raises some very good points, and I want to say that your concern, and you might consider your cynicism, is perfectly valid. Your reaction to say that you don't think that it's true, that it's not, we live in a free will universe, absolutely. And you have that right. You have that right as a human being on this planet to say, I just don't believe it. I don't think it's true. And I don't think that you can even have, you have the right to say that you don't like the ETs. That is your right. Our role here as educators at the Farsight Institute is to educate about what we perceive out there, what we see, as objectively as possible, sticking as close as we can just to the data, and to let you decide. And if it is your decision that you don't like them, that you don't want to interact with them, that you don't think they're friendly, that is your right. It is our choice to educate, but it is your choice to make your own decision.
And it's my job to provide a forum, and I hope I've done that. Doctor, we are out of time. The program is over. It has been a real whiz-banger. I feel like I ought to go have a good, stiff drink, and I may do exactly that.
Well, I really enjoyed, as I always have, being on your show. And again, it is an honor to be with you, Art.
Doctor, thank you. Good
night. Thank you.
That's Professor Courtney Brown from Emory University. And as I just said, I guess my job is to provide a forum, and I hope we did that. Take what you've heard advisedly. Think it over. And make of it what you will. And I'm going to think very hard about it. Tomorrow night, Dr. Malachi Martin. Don't forget, if you want a copy of this program, you can get it by calling 1-800-917-4278. From the high desert, good night.